This is PFW in progress.
You smiling?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football. Football's fun.
Fun, sir.
Fun, sir.
It's fun.
Yes.
You sure?
I think.
Now you're thinking. First you smile, then you think. You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Yes. No.
No?
Sir. It was fun.
Not anymore, though, is it? Is it?
No, not by now.
No, it's not fun anymore. No. Not even a little bit.
No.
Make up your mind.
No, no.
Think, since you're thinking now. Go on, think.
No,
is
no.
It fun?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
Absolutely not?
Zero fun, sir.
EFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
I can guarantee you there isn't a bum on the street that looks as raggedy and ridiculous as what I'm looking at right now. This is no democracy. It is a dictatorship. I am the law.
Paul Perillo.
And I noticed that he wears those leopard spotted underwears, bikini style, sir.
And Andy. And Andy?
Think you got a future in football?
Andy Hart.
Oh, heck no. I just figure if I gotta be in school, I might as well hit some people while I'm at it.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Does the term cruel and unusual punishment mean anything to you?
And you never know who else might stop by.
You look like a bunch of fifth grade sissies after a cat fight.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You got anger, that's good. You got aggression, that's even better. You're gonna need that too. But any little 2-year-old child can throw a fit. Football is about controlling that anger, harnessing that aggression into a team effort to achieve perfection. We will be perfect. Let's go to work.
All right, let's go to work. It is game day here.
Albeit
just a preseason game, but that's
still
okay.
Game day. First ever PFW in progress on game day.
That's okay. We're excited to see them out and hitting people with a different color jersey on.
Indeed.
So that's going to happen tonight. Against the Baltimore Ravens at 7:30 here at Gillette Stadium. But we're all here between now and 2 o'clock. Andy, Eric, Paul, myself, Gary's in the booth. Mini Gary I even saw. And Mike Parenti is joining us. I think this is kind of your first day. Even tomorrow's your first official day. No, today's your first official day. All right.
Might want to turn your mic on for your first official day.
You've done him well, Fred.
How are you?
Damn
That's
rookies.
Right. That's all right. He's learning from the best.
Can't count on a rookie.
So Mike's here.
It's the preseason.
And we've got a lot to talk about, obviously. The Brett Favre situation on the top of everyone's agenda. We're going to get into that in depth and how it will affect the AFC East and the Patriots. But before we get into all that, I just want to let just a little tease here. I just came from the hall at Patriot Place where I saw a snippet of the signature film as it will be seen in the theater with the sound and the oh my God.
You're so full of it.
I got chills.
What is it, like an intro to
Yeah.
Patriot history.
Okay. Everybody that comes into the theater will sit
is that
in the,
a hair gel?
Into the museum will sit in this theater and watch this film on a 45-foot wide screen, 3 projector. I mean,
wow.
You know, state-of-the-art sound. I mean, if you don't come out of that thing ready to, you know, go and see the rest of the museum, you don't have a heartbeat. Lightheaded.
Is this the one with the celebrity narrator?
No.
No.
I knew that was
going to get one, or they just...
What, are you trying to just rain on my parade?
No, I'm wondering. You brought it up the other day.
You're playing the role of Andy Hart today. Eric Scalavino.
If you go to Rook, you'll be lucky. I think you might end up with Low on Thursdays in the lowdown.
The fantasy lowdown.
The lowdown.
All right.
I'm just asking.
No, it's going to be an unbelievable film.
When is that opening again?
In September.
Sometime, or is there like
in September? The whole world will know.
Yeah. No, it's a. It's unbelievable. There's a lot of work still to be done inside there.
That's what I told you 2 months ago when you said, it'll be open at training camp.
CBS scene is going to be open September 1st.
And today is Reebok, right?
Reebok is opening today.
More importantly, did you get a taste of the CBS scene menu?
I did not.
Any more food? Going
but I'll be tasting it tonight when I accompany Fred Kirsch to the WBCN pregame show live from CBS.
I heard they're serving us Kobe beef hamburgers.
And I'm going to enjoy it.
You guys are doing that together?
Well, no, I'm
just
going to test the food because I don't know how to get there. It's, supposedly, it's like on the roof of CBS scene, and
right.
I'm going to need to know how to do it at some point.
Nice.
And they're having Kobe burgers.
So you're doing it tonight?
I'm doing the first
one. I kind of want a burger, too.
You can come.
Okay.
It's free
can
food.
Can I go just for a burger?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's going to be better than what's
I
in the
guess.
Box.
I mean, I don't want to get in
trouble.
I gave
you permission.
But,
you know, sorry.
Don't you know who you are? You're Fred Kirsch. You can go
anywhere
and do anything.
You
built this.
Don't you have your thing you got to do?
That was early in. No.
Really? What happened?
It's the preseason.
They don't do the show?
No.
Really?
Are we?
They don't even have a. They don't have a pre-show or
it's
anything.
Called the big show.
Wow.
The good part about being new is I don't have any gigs. I can just eat food now.
today's show is big. Yeah. You know why?
Why?
1:30.
Oh, well, 1:30, yes.
It goes wide.
Well, there's a lot of reasons it's a big show, but
he
yes.
He plays along better than anybody.
At 1:30, Andre Tippett, newly, freshly inducted into the Hall of Fame, will be here live in the studio taking Eric's seat.
Oh, that's not right.
No, we'll have Andre
better than
here.
Eric taking his seat.
He said he's around 1:30, Gary. Yeah, Gary lined that up for us.
So, and Gary's wondering if this would be the one-time-only chance listeners would have to buy Andre Tippett lunch.
They would. This would be the only
chance.
Imagine
saying to your friends, I bought Andre Tippett lunch.
Does he eat enough for six
people? Didn't meet him. I'm a half a world away. But
Andre's looking good.
Oh, yeah. He looks like a little kid in his team Hall of Fame picture.
And now
he talked about he lost so much weight that when he got fitted for his blazer, it doesn't really fit him.
A little loose?
Really?
It's too loose.
Green jacket, yellow jacket.
So, that was a good weekend. Robert Kraft presented for him, and then he accepted the induction, and I guess that's how it works, right?
I don't want it.
I talked to him a little bit yesterday, and he said that it was just an amazing weekend.
Yeah.
He thought, other than the induction, the night before they have, like, the jacket presentation.
Yeah.
That, he thought, was, like, the highlight for
He's
him
been
of the
raving
weekend.
About
that's what
that.
You said, Eric. Right?
Yeah,
that was
it really
the highlight
was.
For you.
It really was the highlight of the weekend.
Oh, boy, Eric was there for
Eric
everything.
Was there live, yeah.
It was a phenomenal experience. That Friday night thing, I didn't know that they had done that. I always kind of wondered, when do they actually get the jackets? Because on Saturday when they walk out,
they already have them. Right.
So I didn't know if it was just sort of like a backstage thing where they just do it. But, no, they had this big to-do on Friday night. It was a catered affair. Fred, you would have loved it.
Yeah.
Black tie, women were all dressed up. And,
wow.
You wore a suit, tuxedo?
Well, no, but some people did. And some people just wore, you know, suits and whatever. Everyone was dressed nicely.
Did you have a suit on?
I did.
Good thing Fred didn't go.
Shirt and tie? Good thing I didn't go.
Usually we wait for calls, but this one is coming all the way from down under in Australia. Andrew's calling in. Andrew, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Andrew. Thanks for the call.
Good day, mate.
Hey, thanks for listening.
What time is it in Australia right now?
It's 2:10 in the morning.
Wow.
Why are you talking to us?
Are you drunk?
Well,
drunk dialing
bit.
The show?
Well,
he's drunk.
No,
yeah, he's drunk.
I work in a bar.
Is this a booty call?
Oh,
Eric's all we can serve up.
Did Eric text you?
If you'll come to Australia.
Wait a minute. What are you turning on?
I've always wanted to come to Australia. It is on my list, my bucket list.
What's a bucket list?
Things you got
to
do
you
before you kick
Sydney,
the bucket.
You come to Sydney, I'll look after you,
boys. Okay. Right. So what's up?
Just quickly, how do the rookies look relative to where they were picked? Do any of them look like steals, maybe a reach? How do you guys think they're looking relative to where the Patriots picked them?
Good question.
Very good question. Well, Mayo, I will say, looks better than the 10th pick. No, I'm being serious, because I came in with certain expectations, knowing that he had to be big, strong, fat. I mean, when you take a guy in the top 10, he needs to be the total package.
And I think he is.
He's a top 10.
And that's my point.
I think he's equivalent to where he
Vernon Golston is struggling in New York. Gerard Mayo is looking good in New England.
Sure okay.
So he's worth the 6th pick.
Do you call Slater a steal, maybe?
For special team purposes alone?
I don't know if about
not
a steal,
yet.
But...
Not yet. Well, okay. I'd say that he's clearly showing the potential,
yeah. Okay.
But not. I wouldn't say he's a steal yet.
Right.
He would have to do to be a steal for a fifth-round pick.
To be a let's compare him to Devin. If he's anywhere near Devin Hester, then he's a steal, because Hester was a third-round pick.
Well, I would agree.
But
with
he should contribute offensively, too, to be a steal.
If he's anywhere near Devin Hester, I would consider that a steal.
Right.
I don't.
If he's a good kick returner?
I don't anticipate him being anywhere near Devin Hester.
Well, I don't either, but, I mean, that's, you know, he's already talking about that. People are already asking him about that. But I would say compare him to Bethel Johnson, who essentially never did anything on, you know, he had a couple big plays, but his greatest contributions were as
a
returner.
Does that make him a steal?
If he was second round. Well, depends how you compare it. Either Bethel Johnson was a terrible bust.
He was.
Or
he wasn't a steal.
Matthew Slater's, I mean,
but
if
Andrew,
he becomes an impact player out of the fifth round, I think by nature
but
that's kind of a
steal.
In fairness,
though, can't you get
if
a kick
he's an
returner?
Impact player? I'm not anticipating
Dan Copen
that
was
happening.
A steal. He was a fifth round pick, right?
Dan Copen was a steal of a fifth round
pick. I think any guy that becomes a long term contributor to your team out of the fifth round on a starting or impact level is a steal.
I'll tell you how he'd become a steal. If he becomes the next Larry Izzo, where he's like a every year Pro Bowl special
right.
team.
That's what I'm saying.
That would be a steal.
But it's all about your comparisons, because if you compare him to a guy drafted in the sixth round named Tom Brady, then he's nowhere near a steal. So,
Well, Tom Brady was a steal.
Right, I know, and Matthew Slater can never do anything to compare to Tom Brady.
You got to compare it by position. Right. You can't take
and
positions.
Yeah, expectations and position. Right. Yep.
I had no expectations, so he's
very,
a steal.
Very pleased with pretty much every pick. Mm-hmm. You know, Terrence Wheatley, mm-hmm. I think, has been rock solid. Maybe Sean Crable being the lone exception.
Paul saw my face as he said that.
But Terrence Wheatley has been, I think, excellent during the camp practices. Jonathan Wilhite, a clear notch or two below Wheatley, but still the football, athletic. Yeah.
Better
unfortunately,
than
he
advertised.
Got banged. Yeah.
Better than what we heard.
Yeah. What about O'Connell, though, as a third-round pick?
O'Connell, I think it was kind of a raw prospect. He's a project.
But you can see his athleticism and his talent.
I can see his ability, absolutely.
So, and Rude's been injured, too. He only came back.
Well, the expectations are usually higher for third-round picks, but not for O'Connell, clearly. They don't have much in mind for him this year.
He doesn't have to play, and everybody thought he was raw.
Where he is based on where he's picked. Yeah.
Do you guys think O'Connell is a trade option, or is he a backup?
Oh, I don't think
he's a trade option yet.
Not a third round, no.
No. I think they drafted him in the third.
I would be
picking
him for a reason. Yeah. There's very little that would stun me with Belichick. I think he's proven over the years he'll do anything and everything to help the team, but I would be classified as stunned if Kevin O'Connell is not some way a member of the Patriots in 08, whether it be on injury reserve or the practice squad or on the active roster somehow. Mm-hmm. I'd be stunned if they traded him or cut him or just cut ties with him. I would be really, really stunned for a third-round pick for them cutting ties with him.
All right, Andrew.
All right. Thank you.
Get some sleep.
We'll see you soon in Sydney.
Appreciate it.
It's an interesting question, though.
See you later.
Okay.
Peace out. Thanks, Andrew.
We can go for Eric because Gary wasn't in the room, so you're going to stay on the line.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Say again, Paul.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I think it's interesting to think, and I think you said it right off the top, Fred. It was a good question. Wondering where the draft picks fit based on where they were picked.
It goes back to the whole value thing, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, in other words, what do you get? What kind of value
and
do
every
you get
year it changes.
Round, third round?
Yeah,
right, exactly.
Sure.
I mean, based on the preliminary second round for Hester, by the way.
So, yeah.
But the preliminary indications of the first two picks, I think, are right now home runs.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't think they're steals. I don't, let's let them play in games first.
Right.
But
they expected that from a 10th pick, not really a steal.
Listen, you better have the 10th pick of the draft contributing on defense right away.
Right.
And we all said that in April, and we all have seen that so far, and it looks like that's going to be the case.
Okay. On Tuesday, we had Mark Capello from WBCN here just stopped in to say hello. He's very upset because PFW in Progress misspelled his name, misspelled it Capella. So once again, somebody comes on the show for 10 minutes, and now he's a star, and he's worried about people.
Well, he travels with Gil, so thinks highly of himself.
It's Mark with a C, and it's two P's, two L's with an O at the end,
right,
correct?
Capello.
That's Capello. Right. Capello.
I think I always call him Capella.
I do.
Yeah. But anyway, he's upset, and James from England, of course, will make that change.
It's part of being Italian.
James from Wales.
Gets stereotyped.
That's Wales.
Wales. Wales. Not England.
It's not England. Okay.
That's a distinction, too.
The home of Joe Calzaghe.
Just like you refused to call him Chris.
Some other housekeeping. Todd Porter, I expressed my concern over
him.
He has a couple very interesting emails that I should probably get to right off the top.
Yes.
Todd in Nova Scotia, he says to me, thanks for the concern. The basement is cold, and I think I've got a mold problem, so it might be making me loopy. The pipe bomb project is going well. The tinfoil in the hat idea is really helping, and I've switched the paper bowls, so the dishes problem is solved. I think since you started to get to know Eric Project, it's been really wearing on me and Jason and Chiba. Eric is the Pac-Man Jones of the Patriots, beat a bad seed. Is destroying the organization from the inside. Parenti sounds like a great addition to the PFW team, and Paul and Andy are still doing the great job they've always done. Now that football will be back tonight, and once Eric goes to checkmate, everything will be right in the world.
I like this guy, Todd.
Me too.
Pipe bombs aside, he's all right.
As long as the pipe bomb doesn't have your name on it, who cares?
Me.
He follows that up with a Dan Heffron-like poem, which I'll read right now.
Okay.
Fred Kershaw Homer. No, a man of the masses. He loves the women on the Spanish Channel, especially if they have big asses. Koi ponds and caddies and top shelf, this and that. He does perfect push-ups and diets, so why is he fat? Kurt Schilling and Norm, across is he. St. Thomas, in almost all states he has lived. Embrace the hate in 08 is his motto. Rape, pillage, and burn. I think he was blotto. Started a team paper with his bare hands, he did. Let's hope the hall opens so he doesn't blow his lid. Bass Pro St. Elmo's, the man eats a lot. After the Patriots lost, he had a dream, a soap with a slot. When he was young, hell raising and booze too. We all know the crafts thought he was a Jew. Chippers, gutter robots, wheeze, he loves toys. Ask him about the tennis racket when he was a boy. No, don't. Frank, Hi-Ho, and Jake Steele are his names. No one believes he doesn't cheer during games. Kidnapping kickers' wives, Klecko and Welker. He's hoping he does all us a favor and kills Felger. Blogs and web radio and video he did first. We tease him a lot, but we all love Fred Kirsch. And that's Todd, Nova Scotia. P.S. is just joke, Fred, like most of my emails. And P.P.S. I hate Eric. That's no joke.
Oh. Well, I have another one that Gary printed that I don't know if you got to.
What?
It's from Todd in Nova Scotia.
Again?
That says, don't send Eric to Rook. Send him to the cheerleader chit-chat. He'll fit right in.
There you go. That's a great idea. How about that, Eric?
How about no, Fred?
You used to help them film some of the video of that, right?
Yeah, that was a fun gig.
I think you could, you know, be a good addition to that. You'd sort of be like the moderator. You know?
I'd be the moderator.
Yeah, like the dad.
From Patriots.com.
The dad isn't exactly the role I'd be.
For information on this or any other.
Well, the cheerleader chit chat.
Want to know who gay dad?
Right.
Exactly.
Well, the cheerleader chit chat is really aimed for young girls aspiring to be cheerleaders.
Right. Now, it's cheerleader chit chat with Lori Baranski.
Really?
It's really not meant for creeps.
Which is why no one downloads it. As I said, you give me 5 minutes running the show there, and I'll have
that,
million
how's
hits.
How's that demographic working?
Me and strippers put together, we'll have that chit chat taken off.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Guys, we should probably get right into it. Favre to the Jets, conditional fourth-round pick. I think it's a steal for the Jets. Why not do it?
Yep.
What's going to happen to Pennington, and what does this do to the AFC East and the Patriots? Open it up.
It's a great question.
Does nothing to the AFC East and the Patriots.
Instead
they still win the division.
Instead of clinching in week five, they'll clinch in
but
week
But it 11. Does make the That's Jets all. A legitimate playoff team in my mind, because I thought they were a potential wild card team to start with. And with Favre, he's very good in the regular season of late last year,
yeah,
and he's
say,
good against bad teams.
So
I think he's going to put them enough, give them enough wins, 10, 11 wins, to put them in the playoffs, because he's going to beat up on the Dolphins and the Bills and the Chiefs and the other bad teams they play.
The first thing that came to me, though, Fred, was I love the trade itself, the creativity of the trade. I heard Adam Schefter talking about it, too, a little bit this morning. You know, a conditional fourth-round pick that can go to a third, a second, or a first, and everybody wins. The Jets would certainly say, if you could tell the Jets, you're going to the Super Bowl and Brett Favre's going to play 80% of the snaps.
I'll give you
a first-round
pick.
Give up a first-round pick for that. And Green Bay doesn't have to get burned for giving up the guy. They got a first-round pick in return. That's a good trade. And then, you know, obviously you can run the gamut depending on his playing time and the Jets' success.
Right.
That's a very creative way to satisfy
If they make the playoffs, it goes to a second-round pick if he gets...
He has to play, too. He has to play 70% of the snaps.
Which he does.
For them
Well, he's there with the record.
Well, the other part of the story is that they're
going
to announce that they're cutting Pennington at 4 o'clock today.
Right.
And they have a jet ready to ship him out of Cleveland where they're waiting to play a preseason game.
Wow, that's harsh.
Well, they did it as sort of a favor, but also as sort of, you're no longer, get away from us. You're not part of the team anymore.
Yeah.
We have a game tonight.
Yeah.
So does anyone think that Pennington might, since he might be available?
If he wants to be a backup, yes.
I think it would be perfect.
Now, my guess is he still fancies himself a starter.
Yeah.
Because he's pretty high on himself.
I'm just wondering.
Because all the writers were privileged to cover him in New York.
Yeah, I'm not sure that dynamic would work here. I mean, Pennington is a nice guy, but like you said, he's got a starter's mentality. And you don't want that kind of...
No. But he would be signing knowing he's the backup.
Right.
Knowing he's the backup.
So he comes in knowing he's the backup. That's different than what he's...
I understand, but...
Not just knowing he's the backup.
I think somebody's going to give him a starting job, though.
Knowing that he's coming to a team that's going to play his former team twice a year and has a better chance of going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he's not going to play, and would he be happy?
No.
Well,
but
I don't think he'll sign
this
year.
But it's also mid-August.
If he signs, yes, he would be happy. He'd be signing knowing he's the backup.
He can be the backup for a year. You might not play. If you do play, you're going to win. You might win a Super Bowl as a backup, but... Then next spring, we part ways, and you go find the perfect job for you.
Right.
There's got to be somebody giving him more of a chance
More than likely.
Well, the Herm Edwards in Kansas City is the likely scenario.
The thing that Andy and I were trying to figure out this morning was, at this stage, now you're 2 weeks into camp, the preseason's just about to start, how many teams would be willing to scrap their whole plan and go for Chad Pennington? This is not Brett Favre now. This is a guy with, you know, really, really significant shoulder problems. He can't throw the ball. He already wasn't the strongest armed quarterback around to begin with, but the shoulder issues have really kind of taken away a significant portion of his ability to throw the ball downfield at all. How many teams would be willing to throw it all in? I think Herm Edwards, with his prior relationship with Pennington, is intriguing because of that. But otherwise, well, there's a lot of teams that I think Pennington's better than the starting quarterback on. I just don't know at this stage of the offseason,
how much do you give up?
What you'd be willing to do to make him be your starter.
Well, he's not going to get any money.
No.
I mean, at this point, a lot of teams aren't just going to throw money at him. Starter, and he's not even a proven starter anymore. He's a question mark maybe starter. So
now, he probably goes anywhere he goes. He goes in ostensibly as a backup.
Right.
You know, does he look at that and say...
But backing up Tavares Jackson is different than backing up
Tom
Brady.
Backing up Brody Croyle, I'm going to beat him out by week three. You know, backing up Tom Brady, there's no way I'm ever getting on the field unless Brady
gets backups who are starters in waiting and backups who are backups.
So it comes down to, really, it comes down to Pennington's impression of himself right now.
Right.
How does he feel he fits into the NFL right now, and what is he willing to settle for?
He definitely is going to think of himself as a starting quarterback.
But right now?
Whether or not anybody else thinks of him as a starting quarterback remains to be seen.
I don't think he necessarily has to, quote, give up the dream. But looking for a job as a starter in August is not the same as looking for a job as a starter in March.
I agree. He's the perfect, you know, whether he wants to believe it or not, he's the perfect guy to come in and settle a ship, you know, with a, when your start is down, because he is a management type quarterback.
If you let me just play
and his weak arm, he can throw to Moss with his weak arm, because then you really just lob it up as hard as you can. And
but he's very accurate. He's very accurate. He and Welker will continue the pace.
Right,
that would
perfect.
And he has experience throwing to Moss. They played together at Marshall.
Let me ask you in Never Neverland here. Let's just say that something happened to Brady before the season started, and Chad Pennington was your 16-game starter. What do you think the Patriots' record would be?
9-7.
Oh, no, I think it's higher than that.
Just because of the schedule?
I think minimum 10-6.
The rest of the team. Probably 10-6. I'll go with that.
But 10 wins, but you got to take into account a guy having to come in with a new system, too, though. I mean, this isn't just...
Yeah, well, this is Never Neverland. Okay, I'm going to operate under the premise that he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, but we just said he's a backup.
Then
so
I'll go 16 wins if we're Never Neverland.
Yeah. No, I'm saying he has he knows the system. Let's just say, for the purposes of this, you know...
This is hard.
You know.
This is hard.
For this exercise... He knows the system. He
Plus,
comes
he'll
in.
Compete.
I think minimum 10-6.
14-2.
Minimum.
Well, I don't know about 14, but I think you could win 11 or 12.
Yeah.
I think the team is good enough that as long as they had a quarterback that didn't make a lot of mistakes, they would win games. And that's my fear with Matt Castle and Matt Gutierrez.
Right, and I think Eric made a great point. They have the history with Marshall, and recently when at Randy Moss's charity thing, or was it Pennington's charity thing? I think one of the other had one. They were both there.
Pennington was
high praise on Moss, saying he had wished the Jets got him, and so that's a good point by you.
Gary does point out that Mike said 9-7, and you go, oh no, 10-6.
To me, that's a big difference. 9-7, 10-6. It could be the difference of making the playoffs.
I understand.
Well,
that, but it's still
position
the difference
wise,
of one game.
But numerically, it's not a big difference.
No, it isn't.
So what we're saying is that anybody can run the system is what we're saying now offensively.
No, I'm not saying that.
I happen
to think maybe a little bit more of Pennington than most people do. I think that he's a good game manager. I think he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. I think if he was on a team that's not relying on him to throw the ball 35 or 40 times a game, particularly from coming from behind and having to get it downfield, I think he can be a very successful quarterback.
You may be right, too.
And his record as a starting quarterback in this league with a pretty mediocre team is pretty impressive.
Look, when the Jets had Curtis Martin, they had a couple good receivers, and they had a decent offensive line.
Yeah.
He was a damn productive quarterback.
Forever it was.
2 years ago, he won
when
10
he was
games,
healthy, they
pretty,
won. When he was not healthy, they lost. That's how it worked. It was an easy formula. Pennington healthy win, Pennington unhealthy lose.
Last year
lose.
Was the first time they deviated from that.
Right, because they had no... talent
they
around
had nothing.
Him. Nothing. They had no running game.
And if Pennington had
no
to
offensive
be,
line.
If Pennington were here and had to be the starter for any length of time, that would put more pressure, more emphasis on the running game, I would think.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And those guys having to stay.
That's why I think it's not so
well,
much
but
that
less
I think,
pressure than if Matt Castle had to play for any time.
So you like the personnel around him.
Yeah,
more
it's
so
not so much
else.
That I think Chad Pennington is this, you know, all pro in the making. I just think that given his game, I think it would be well suited to play
right
on such a talented team.
Absolutely.
So we're going to get a lot of screens and short yardage passing.
Whereas I think Brady, Brady could be pretty successful on any team.
Oh, I agree.
You know, I think he could go to a bad team like the Jets. What did the Jets win last year?
Four games.
Yeah. I think that Brady's probably going to be closer to 8 wins with that team last year because he's that much better than Pennington.
Brady who competed or?
Oh, come on. We'll get to that, too.
All right, we're going to take a break, but we still need to talk about Brett Favre. We still need to talk about Brett Favre and what he means to the Patriots and the Jets.
Belichick took forever in his press conference, and Fred just wants the highlights.
Dude, we don't remember. It was really long and stupid.
Patriots.com Radio.
The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there. The Revolution 4-game supporters pack is the ticket to the best matches of the summer. Be there when the Revolution take on Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, Ante Razov and Chivas USA, and David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. It sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order the 4-game supporters pack to guarantee you're in the building for the best matches of the season. 4-packs start at just $64. Order now and get a Revolution supporter scarf free. Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222, or log on to RevolutionSoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst! Are you kidding me?
Revolution. Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and a long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information, and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins. When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. Now, Cheerleader Chit Chat with Eric Scalavino.
All right, back here in PFW. That was fast, Gary.
2-4 thick eight. Who do we appeal to?
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And quickly, I was just watching an NFL Network commercial, and of course, since the Giants won the Super Bowl,
yeah,
they're using. Now, you're a Giants fan, and you know we know that. It's not going to affect your job here, right?
Not yet,
right?
No.
Okay, good. But just a question.
Not yet.
What
it is know, now, obviously.
Preseason
okay.
opener against the Ravens.
There's still a lot of buzz in, among Giants fans about them winning the Super Bowl. What you know,
yeah, I'm still ordering T-shirts. I mean, it's you know. I'm not going to tell you what's on the T-shirts, but, yeah, it's still a lot of buzz.
Okay.
It's all we have. If you're a New York sports fan like I am, this is all we have.
Right.
You know, those 26
the Rangers,
titles that the Yankees have won.
Yeah,
and they haven't won one in 7 years. They suck
seven
now.
Seven years
down
is
the
a
tube,
long time.
So.
Okay.
The Yankees are fluttering.
Well,
the
Knicks.
About the
60
or so.
Do you think the Giants are getting respect? Because we're already hearing now from Giants players that we're not getting the respect.
I think they're getting what they deserve now. I mean, let's be honest. They're still not a top five team in my book. They're probably like 6 or 7 in the league, top 10 based on their cachet from last year, but if anybody's going to put them at 1 or 2, they're just really kidding themselves.
Okay.
I mean, honestly,
they were a mediocre team in early December,
right? And they lost some key players on defense. They're going to have a hard time replacing those guys. And Bradshaw's in the can. I don't know for how long. So I mean, what the hell are they going to do with the running game? It's really the honeymoon's over.
Okay, I just
Plasko's
wanted to get a
being an ass again.
There's
a lot of
that.
Stuff going on.
Okay.
But hey,
right.
But
now
we still have the
building
buzz.
Pace here. He's getting emotional.
No, we've got the buzz. We're still all excited
button,
about
Gary,
it.
Get
it's
ready.
But no, it's okay.
What do you think of Eli Manning?
I love Eli Manning.
Really?
I love him.
Did you love him before last?
I didn't love him before the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 42. Actually,
I
mean,
I was going to ask you, was it the playoffs or was it the Super Bowl?
No, the whole postseason. I thought he did a great job.
Because I thought he played really well in the postseason in general.
Yeah,
I don't think he played a great game in the Super Bowl, but he made some great plays when he had to.
So how long does that last? Like what kind of a little
week one?
What's that guy's name? They used to be on EEI. Give him a pass.
No, if he throws a pick,
Ted Sarandis.
If he throws a pick in week one, I'm going to be flipping over tables.
They ruined my headline. So.
No, it doesn't really last because the goal is to win every year.
No, I know, but
you can't say, "Oh, well, it's okay, you threw 6 picks, but you won last year."
He's certainly not going to be criticized the same in September this year.
No, because the knock on him was that he would never win a big game, and he won four of them last winter. So that goes out the window.
On the road,
but any criticism from there on out is justified. If he's not playing well, you got to say he's not playing well.
No, I know, but they were at the point where they were wondering if they needed a new quarterback.
Right,
and he wasn't the guy for the job.
And coach. They know that.
Right.
That's a great point because there was a time, and Andy and I talked about this on our show right here. I think it was Mike and Mike. They were going through the whole league and how many teams were settled at quarterback, and they couldn't put the Giants in the settled at quarterback camp. They couldn't do it.
Yeah,
this was like in November. So
what's his contract?
Now I would say they're settled at quarterback.
Question. Oh, yeah, they're settled, and they're settled that coach, too.
I just wanted to ask that because I saw the commercial. But getting back to the whole Brett Favre to the Jets thing, what does this do for the Jets, and should the Patriots be worried at all about the Jets?
No, not worried, no. They're a playoff team.
I'll be honest with you, though. This is the one way it ended that I cared. I mean, this is the only way the whole stupid story ended that I cared.
But,
otherwise, I didn't care if he goes to Tampa. I didn't care if he retired.
Exactly.
It remains an annoying story.
Well, I wanted him to go to the Vikings. I thought that would be great theater.
Okay.
This
the
is the second.
Yeah, but I'm talking.
No, that's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point.
But now we get to see the theater.
Then he goes into Lambeau on Monday Night Football or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
You're right. That I think that would have been the best.
This is fun too, though.
Selfishly, this is great.
Fun.
Selfishly for us. Now at least when we play the Jets, we don't have to worry about the stupid handshake, spy game.
Right. Yeah. It's another story.
There's another whole storyline here that I think is far more compelling than any of that nonsense.
Yeah, thank God.
You know, and I don't love Brett Favre the way, you know, the ESPN guys do, but he is, you know, a top 10 quarterback of all time at the very least.
Yeah.
This is going to make these games a little bit different.
It was interesting. I was listening to EEI this morning as well, and Felger was on. He was hosting.
I couldn't have agreed with
him
more.
And Adam Schefter came on, and Adam Schefter was saying that this was a great trade for the Jets. And Felger, just, you know, being the Packer fan he is, he just went at Schefter. He said, "This, you know, Favre is not that good." And he listed all the playoff, you know, defeats that he's had and
and that's all true, but the one thing that's lost there is he's better than the quarterbacks they had.
And
for a Jets perspective,
and that
is what Mike
you improved.
Said. Mike did say this is a good trade for the Jets because it improves them right now.
Okay.
But let's not go crazy is what he's saying.
But I agree with all the rest of his stuff.
Yeah,
we've seen it too often, whether
gives
it's the playoffs.
Games away.
I said to Paul, the biggest game was the Cowboys game last year where he crapped himself.
He gave away the
just changed
game.
His whole game plan and just starts chucking it deep every play. That was the one where I said, okay, he turtles in the big game now.
He gave away the NFC title game last year.
Right. And I just think he's now a guy that will beat up on bad teams. He's good. He's still a good, he can throw, he'll make that offense better. But in terms of beating the Patriots, say, in an AFC title game or beating the Chargers or a good team, I don't think they're any better.
I'm
going
to make a prediction right now.
Wrong.
Bills beat the Jets twice this year.
No chance.
No.
Well, here's where.
Okay.
Zero chance.
Okay.
Want to bet?
I'm saying it right now. What do you
want
to bet?
Anything you want. Well, no.
I'll take some action on that too. There is no chance.
No chance.
Okay.
None. All right.
The Bills have to sweep the Jets.
The Bills beat the Jets.
Okay.
Twice.
Unlike other people on this
split?
Show, I'll
how
pay my debts
here?
Up. So, what do you want to bet? Just a lunch.
I'll bet you a sandwich.
Split. Okay, a lunch.
Okay.
At CBS Scene.
A lunch at CBS Scene, so I can get a Kobe burger, and you can't.
No, a sandwich here in the studio.
Well, Fred, what about a split here with this team? What are your odds on that?
No. Patriots beat them twice. Patriots beat the Jets twice.
I think there's a better chance of a split here.
Let me ask you
this,
Fred, because it sounds like you said, do you think the Jets are better or worse right now than they were before this trade?
You know what? I don't think they've improved that much, believe it or not.
Yeah, no, that's the way it sounds by the way you're talking. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. I think they're better, but I kind of go with Andy. I think the Jets made a lot of moves in the offseason, and I think they would have to be very unlucky for all of those moves not to pan out and for all of it to represent wasted money.
True.
They did a lot this offseason.
Will
Calvin Pace and Chris Jenkins and Vernon Golston and Alan Faneca, all of these moves work out well? No.
Well, Woody won't.
But enough of them will work out to the point where they're going to be better. They had a terrible, terrible offensive line last year. They brought in two guys that will start for them in Faneca and Woody.
And supposedly DeBrickashaw now gets it. Like, people are saying he's going
to
be good.
Listen, there had to be something that caused him to be so highly sought after. I don't know.
I don't know. Robert Gallery still stinks, doesn't he?
That's true. I don't know. But, you know, there's really not that many colossal busts in the offensive line, you know, when you go back over the top 10 picks. And I tried to do it because I don't like picking offensive linemen. So I went into my research hoping to find a lot of busts, and I really couldn't. Gallery was one of the really only ones in recent memory. So I think it would be very unlikely if all of those moves didn't pan out and they weren't a much improved team. Now, I think the Bills are all right too, Fred. I think I think that they're one of those scrappy teams that's destined to be in the 7-9 to 9-7 range, you know, under Dick Geron. I don't think they'll ever be.
See, I think they are the prototypical team that the Jets got better than by getting Favre. Like the Bills, an okay
right
team,
around the same level,
mildly competitive, but I think he'll make a couple plays in those games that'll help them win those
now,
types
I
of
just
games.
Think
that,
that
said, I could see him throwing about eight picks in
Park. Right.
Sure.
I just think that, you know,
I'll take my
you're inserting a quarterback, and I guess it's still kind of early in the preseason. I mean, we haven't played a preseason game, so there is time for him to get into the system. But, man, that's a big change now. So what do? Do you change your offense for Brett Favre? Or do you take what you have and Brett Favre adapts to that? I mean,
you've got to keep what you have. Yeah. As Bill would say, you can't change 15 other guys for one guy, even if he's Brett frickin' Favre.
Right. Now you're getting to the point where it's why I kind of side with you. This is a guy who in recent years has a reputation of not doing all the things off the field that you need to do to succeed.
And now he has to.
Now he's been retired for the last 4 months. What do you think he's done back home in Mississippi while he wasn't intending to play?
Right.
Nothing. Well, he was working out with that high school team.
I know, and he stood out. Believe me, he stood out among those high school players. But now you're asking him to not only come off 4 months of inactivity, but to go somewhere else and learn a new offense, which, according to Felger today, and I believe him because he's such a passionate Packers fan.
He owns part of the team.
It's the only system he's ever had.
Right.
He's been West Coast offense from 92 on.
Yep.
Now you're asking him to learn a different offense.
So did you listen to ESPN Radio this morning at all? I forgot who was on, and it might have been Mort.
Tom Waddle. Oh, the guest.
When said, you know, initially he was hesitant to go to New York because he didn't think he'd fit in as sort of the country boy, the big city. And then Mort goes into it, like all these guys that have worked out there. You know, Pennington's kind of not a city guy. All these guys. And said, so Brett will be comfortable, and the out in Hempstead is a little different. He'll have his privacy. And then he goes, and I'm sure he'll find a place to hunt and fish. And I'm thinking, why? He's in season. I don't think he shouldn't be looking for a place to hunt and fish
in
September, October, November, or December.
That's Mike's big gripe is, you know, remember when we played the Packers, was it 2 years ago?
Hunting season.
It was the day. Remember, we got out there and all the newscasts, hunting season open today. And Felger predicted that he would have a crap game. Because that's all he would have been concerned about that week,
right?
Was hunting season. And sure enough, if he didn't, I mean, he was terrible that day.
But he did impress us in pregame warmups with an ability to stand like 45 yards away and hit a ball boy in the breadbasket every time.
I was telling that story the other day. That was just
one of the more amazing
individual
which makes
skills
his picks
that I've ever
even
seen.
That much more amazing when he makes terrible throws.
Yeah, how the hell did you miss? Yeah, I know.
The guy's got pinpoint accuracy, and now he misses
yards
by 50
away,
yards.
He was hitting a ball boy in the hands on the corner of the end zone. And the hands never moved.
Wow. I was there. I must not have been paying attention.
I think it was the preseason game.
No, it wasn't the one at Lambeau you're talking about a few years
ago? Oh, it was definitely at Lambeau.
It was at Lambeau, but I think it was a preseason game.
Okay.
I'm thinking
the regular season game. I'm thinking of another.
Assuming the Jets don't make the Super Bowl and win it, and they're just an average team, what are we talking about Brett Favre's legacy? Does this hurt his legacy as an NFL quarterback?
People forget.
No. He'd have to play awfully, awfully poorly.
I still think
he's not going to play long enough to damage.
I'm thinking more. I'm thinking less about his playing legacy as his Brett Favre image.
That's already damaged.
You know,
I think he did some damage to that by the way he handled it. Yeah.
But
you guys think?
If you were a Packer fan, would you
be bent out of shape right now?
No.
I want to watch Brett Favre.
Let me ask you this, Fred. What do you think of Johnny Unitas' legacy?
I guess The way I remember him is he's a Colt, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever.
I mean, you don't think of San Diego Chargers.
No, I don't.
And you don't with anybody. Jerry Rice,
yeah,
Joe Montana, they're all the same.
Was just simply
Rice
traded,
was the
right?
worst of all. He was begging for somebody to please play him like five times after the Raiders.
He was hanging on and hanging on and hanging on in Baltimore, and then he went to, I don't know what the circumstances were why he went to San Diego, but he obviously thought he could still play. I mean, he was a backup to Earl Morrill in Super Bowl III.
Okay.
He didn't go to San Diego until about 4 or 5 years after that. He was already a backup.
Wow.
In 69 when the Jets beat the Colts, and he came in late in that year, that game.
Well, hey, Joe Montana is not a Kansas City Chief.
I just
think, well, he didn't handle it like Favre handled it.
To me, that's
so
different. That's a guy who didn't know when to hang it up.
Who?
Right.
This
United
is a guy who hung it up and then basically fought his way out of town.
Well, we'll see if he's right about that, though.
You know?
That's right.
Sure.
But
you
it's
know,
also
yeah,
something.
These Packer fans we loved and adored.
It's also the media coverage.
But the legacy.
If
thing
you didn't know every little stupid detail of this all along the way
text
when he signed the document
and
this text message and this meeting, it wouldn't be the story that it is. This is going to have, like, people like Paul and I are going to make fun of him for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
But.
Because that's what we do.
My guess is some kid who's like 12 right now will say, yeah, I don't really remember Brett Favre. He was great for the Packers when I was, you know, I was growing up a little bit. Or it's not going to tarnish.
I'm talking about the Packer fans. How
they probably more upset
how are
with
they
the organization
right
than anything else, though.
I think that he did some damage to his legacy among the hardcore Packer fans just because of what he's done. What we're finding out now the last 2-3 years. I'm coming back. I'm not coming back. I'm coming back. I'm not coming back. I think that's a very small thing, though. I think Andy's right. I think in general.
Big picture,
they're going to say most touchdown passes, most yards. You know, all the unbelievable accomplishments the guy had.
And if he
that's
does,
what they
how about Manny Ramirez with the Red Sox? Are they going to remember 2 World Series titles, or are they going to remember that he kicked his way out of
right
town?
Right now, everybody is livid at Manny Ramirez.
Yeah, but I and
but in five and years, he, people are going
to
say,
and he's
what?
Not even yeah, but, as important to the Red Sox as
that's the second
Brett
best.
Favre to the Packers.
Well, and I was going to say, I mean, Manny Ramirez, as much as he's done for the Sox, he'll never be Ted Williams.
But that's my point. But he's going to be remembered great as a positive aspect of the franchise with favor.
Yeah, he'll come back here. Next year, I get standing ovation.
Right, so
it's not going to matter.
Second best hitter.
Favre is
the team,
that much higher on the importance list with the Packers and in popularity. A couple of years, they'll just forget. They'll have Brett
it's
Favre day. Matter. They'll retire it. They'll love
Do
him.
Do you think it'll be a lasting damage?
I think it does tarnish him. I think it does.
But how? Like a paragraph in his bio, or like
he wanted out. He didn't care about the team as much as or the franchise as much as he said he did all these years.
Well, I don't
you know,
think
he
that.
Was Mr. Packer.
I mean, so now we're going retroactively and saying he didn't care way
I mean,
back when because he wanted to leave.
Well, but you know, the Packers have a museum already.
Yeah.
And they already have Brett Favre stuff
as
in
they
the
should.
Museum.
But he can, his argument back to them can be, hey, I came back. I wanted to come back. And
no, but it's clear
well,
now that
day,
he didn't. He wanted to be traded.
One day he wanted
that
to
was
come
just,
back. The next day he didn't want
that
to
was just.
They still
the
thing is,
you don't know what's
fan base still wants him back.
That was brinksmanship. He wanted out. He wanted out.
You don't think the majority of the fan base still wants him back, even after all of that, they would take him back tomorrow?
Well, I think they did 2 days ago. I mean, Aaron Rodgers said at practice, kids were going, you stink, we want Brett.
I
just
still think
they watching
want
him throw.
Yeah. By the way, is there anybody that you could possibly feel worse for than Aaron Rodgers? That guy's career's done.
Yeah, he's screwed.
I mean, he's going to have to be
he doesn't have to be great.
Incredibly
he's have to
special
take him to the playoffs
to get those people to stop talking like that.
That was did
no,
you read
right.
that story in ESPN, the magazine that did all those guys? That followed up the Hall
ESPN
of Fame
ESPN, the magazine, did that? Or did you read it in Sports Illustrated, too?
Oh, maybe it was Sports
Illustrated. Because I did read one in Sports Illustrated
all the same.
A while ago. Yeah, there was one guy I never even heard of. The
magazines I read when I really spend a lot of time
the guy
on
from
the
Baltimore that that eventually replaced Unitas was Marty Domrez or something like that. I never even heard
did
of
they talk to Brian Greasy?
Yep.
Yeah, it was a good story.
Greasy, somebody in Pittsburgh, somebody
Cliff
in
Stout.
What about
Jay
Steve
Fiedler?
Young? Did they talk to Steve Young?
I don't think so. Because
that would have been an interesting perspective.
But he was a little different.
That's what I mean. That's
he
why
was sort of established as a potentially
Don't you know how it works? You don't talk to guys that don't
right.
don't back up your points.
Jesus, no wonder your stories stink.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. I should probably get to some emails because at 1:30, Andre Tippett's going to be coming in. And we're going to want to talk to him and not read emails. What? What's that?
Can you stop imitating drop-ins, please?
Gary gets mad because I'm faster than his fingers.
Chris from the Bronx writes in, you guys have talked about the rookie linebackers, but having seen Guyton's speed during a recent camp, I'm wondering, out of Crable, Red, Guyton, and Rude, who tops your list?
Crable, Red, Guyton,
Rude hasn't even played. So
Crable hasn't done much, and when it was bad. So
I'd say it's a toss-up between Rude and Guyton.
Well, I haven't seen really
I'd say Guyton and Red. And Guyton's done the most of all of them.
Guyton and Red, I think, have
Didn't I say Red?
No.
What did I say Rude?
Rude.
Sorry, I meant Red.
It's I know. It's double letters. They get you double D, double U. But not a W.
I think
right.
I spent too much time with Eric because I knew what he meant.
Chris also says looking forward to the game. Do you guys know if it will be shown on Sunday NFL ticket? In other words, can out-of-area schlubs like me get a look? I don't believe you can.
Don't all – I mean, not live, but isn't every preseason game eventually aired on NFL
Eventually
Network?
On NFL Network, they do have them. So probably in a couple days it'll be on, but not live.
But read Patriots.com for – you'll feel like you're there after reading our stories.
It didn't our network expand as well?
Within New England. But we're not allowed to show the
games. I thought
there
were some other places, Gare, no? I thought there were some other places that outside of New England even.
Close. In New York, I think. by Albany, I think we might be somewhere around there.
We're actually in Alaska and Hawaii as well.
Yeah. Oh.
Thanks a lot, guys. Love the show with the new improved lineup
like
if you catch the drift. We do.
Hey, all right.
Wait a minute. There's a Channel 5 broadcast will be in Alaska and
Hawaii? Kraft Sports Productions broadcast.
Wow.
Yeah, whatever.
Well.
how's that work?
I don't know.
That guy...
Satellite.
What? You took it literally. I hate you.
Joe and Roslindale...
That's why that different truck.
Who brought Sunset Bar and Grill food that
tremendous.
Day. What a feast.
Where's
that
he
was.
Been?
Joe, don't be a stranger.
For the first time in a long time, I was able to jump on the live stream instead of the podcast. Wanted to send out my sincere thanks for the T-shirt. It has already been put to good use as a gag in my recent interrogations. There is something majestic about the sound
literally?
Of muffled Russian being shouted through a beefy tee. Joe is a, what is he, like a...
I thought he meant gag
government
as a joke.
Interrogator.
No, he means gag.
Actually gagging somebody with the shirt, okay.
Anyway, wanted to get your thoughts on a current family conundrum. We are going to go on the road to one game this year and wanted to get your opinion on where would be the best spot of this year's road game. Factors to weigh in include nightlife, restaurants, stadium experience, etc.
Oh, wow.
We are mostly considering San Francisco, San Diego, Indy, Miami, and Seattle. With the exception of Indy, I have spent some time in all of these places, and I know you don't do the Western stuff as frequently, but I value your opinions just the same.
San Diego.
I'd say Seattle or San Diego.
I'm dying to see Quest Field. To me, is the best city out of those.
And a good game.
Which one, Paul?
In a great game. San Diego.
Bad stadium.
But it's a bad stadium.
But to me, that's – if you're there for a couple days, the 3 hours of the actual comforts of the stadium is the least.
For me, it would be San Diego or Seattle. And I've never been to Seattle, so
San Francisco's nice, but it's a bad stadium and a bad team.
Yeah.
So now you got two negatives going against you. San Diego it is.
I mean, if you have kids, I wouldn't go to Indy. But if you were just, you and your wife or something, Indy's not a bad place.
But compared to San Diego?
No, I think with kids, San Diego with the zoo and all that
beach.
Stuff, you want to go to San Diego.
And with Indy, you also have the new stadium, too.
That's true.
To experience. But I would go on the West Coast if you had really your option for any of them.
Especially since it's not going to happen for another 8 years now.
Right.
I was going that far. Well, yeah, but I mean, not this frequently.
You wouldn't hit Seattle, but you could conceivably hit San Diego again next year.
Right.
Who knows?
Fans will complain.
Right.
William has an email in defense of Chris Ferreira. This assumes he actually does something, and I may be wrong. But when I go to the site, Patriots.com, since you guys have so many now, sometimes I can't download stuff, but if I come back later, I can. One possible reason is someone is adding stuff and links are moving on the page. Another possible reason is Chris is retarded, but let's be generous. Assuming he works, he spends about 4 hours on the phone to Real Media, where he says things like, I'm going to visit, strangle you, burn your body, and then spit out the ashes. Then he must be able to switch channels and be civil to regular people. No. I think you've been overlooking a possibility. Maybe Chris is a blooming saint.
No. That's definitely not
If there's
the
one thing he
Chris
can't
does
do
a fabulous
is switch
job.
Channels.
Chris does a great job. He's got a lot of balls in the air that he's juggling.
He's got no balls,
he has to juggle a lot of things, especially this time of year. He does a great job.
He's one of the best in the league.
And no one whines more than him.
Which is a step back from what he used to be.
Ferreira sucks. Merry Christmas.
He's moving down the ladder.
He used to be the best.
Heading in the wrong direction.
Soon he'll be Bill's description of Jabbar Gaffney. Good to pretty
he's
good.
He's all right. He's good.
He's all right.
Let's see. A lot of emails on Brett Favre. TG and NJ. Says, I'm assuming you've covered Pennington to the Patriots ad nauseum, which we did. So forgetting that, where does Pennington end up? What about Miami? He says.
That's listed among the possibilities when you read all the national reports.
I heard Miami, Kansas City, Baltimore, Chicago.
Atlanta.
Any team that doesn't have an established QB, basically.
Yeah, and if you're Miami, you don't have – I mean, you really have anything to lose by giving this guy a shot to scrap whatever plans you do have because it can't be that good to begin with,
right?
Realistically.
After Favre throws his first INT, the New York media will rip him a new a-hole. He won't know what to do. The friggin' J-E-T-S fans boo Chad Pennington, for Christ's sake. Hey, Brett, this isn't Green Bay where they genuflected in your presence. The New York crowd will eat you alive. I don't think he can handle it. What's the over-under on the Patriots' backfield intercepting Brett Favre this season? 7, 8? If Brett the Jet is a total failure, is Rat Six. Genie back in 09? Good question.
I say 7.5.
7.5 on the over-under?
And I'll take the over.
Patriots intercepting Favre?
I'll take the under.
I'll take the under, but not by much.
That's a lot of
interceptions.
Over 9 wins.
Two games.
What about sacks,
that's
though?
4 in each game?
What's the over-under?
That's a lot.
5 over-under in sacks in 2 games.
Over.
If you guys forget, I'm in love with the defense these days with Gerard Mayo.
I'm in love with the defense.
If Brett the Jet is a total failure, where does that leave the Jets at quarterback?
That's
up the creek.
Yeah. That's the good question for a Patriots fan. I actually think that's a positive because now they're sort of poo-pooing Kellen Clemens, and they don't have a quarterback long term.
Which is why I think that Green Bay was right to say that it's a football decision to get rid of Brett Favre because not only – okay, maybe you could make an argument that in 2008, Favre here for 16 games for the Packers is better than Aaron Rodgers, but you're killing Rodgers.
He loses another year of development.
He loses another year.
And you might lose him.
He wants out. Right. He's probably going to be a free agent, right? I mean, he's been there for a while.
Yeah, this is way too much last year.
So you're probably going to lose him. Then where are you in 2009? And I hear these national guys who really should know better, some of these, you know, some of them are former players.
Look at Paul up on his soapbox.
No, but seriously, they're saying they shouldn't have it. I heard Mike Golic say yesterday they shouldn't have anything on their mind other than 2008. That's the most foolish statement that I've ever heard.
That is stupid.
You can't operate any business only worrying about the present. I mean, what would the Bill Belichick do, Fred, if he was only worried about the one season?
Yeah.
You can't.
I have no idea.
I'm glad. Thanks for participating.
Yeah.
I love when I love when he just blows us up.
No, I was just posted by Florio at about 10 minutes ago. Fins want Chad. This is ProFootballTalk.com. To little surprise, the guy who was running the show in the New York when Chad Pennington was drafted is now interested in bringing Pennington to his current place of employment. Per the Palm Beach Post, the Dolphins and VP of Football Operations, Bill Parcells, have reached out to Pennington's agent, Tom Condon. Parcells was the Jets GM. We knew that. Of course, because Pennington hasn't been released, any such communications would constitute tampering.
Who cares?
Unless the Jets have given Pennington permission to talk to other teams.
Which, exactly. Considering they've already sent a plane to Cleveland, I'm guessing that any permission that he wants.
Yeah.
Right.
He's really got a bug up his butt for that tampering thing.
Yeah,
I
know.
Even if Pennington hasn't gotten such permission, the Jets GM, Mike Tannenbaum, likely wouldn't blow the whistle on Parcells, who has been Tannenbaum's mentor and confidant. Such an overt act of ingratitude would be as outlandish as, say, Coach Eric Mangini tattling on his own mentor, Bill Belichick. Oh, wait, never mind. So, Pennington to the Jets?
Man, genius. Judge, coach, possible.
Does Parcells know he's not exactly the same guy that he got way back when, that his arm has gone through a few ringers since?
He's pretty good now.
No, he isn't.
No, that's what Bill would say.
Might be good in the Arena League where you don't have to throw.
He's not putting it yet.
Ham Brothers, by the way. All I hear about is hams in the Olympics for the gymnastics. Now they're both out.
Wow, okay.
You're concerned with Olympic gymnastics?
You have money on this?
That's I actually think I that he like would be a good solution for
you?
Miami.
Male gymnastics.
Iron Cross? Stop being so homophobic or just homo-ish.
Okay.
All right.
Speaking of which, did you read this?
The Esquire article with Tom Brady.
The cover story of Tom Brady on the cover?
I have not read it.
I did.
Okay.
Everyone sucks
and
but me.
I'm less worked up than I was when I had just heard excerpts from it on the radio and in print. Because I was really ranting and raving this morning about Tom Brady. But I feel a little...
What were you
now.
Ranting and raving about? The fact that he would give an interview with Esquire?
No, he has this whole quote about God didn't invent football and society is the one that puts importance on what I do. And and blah, blah, blah. And that kind
of getting a little bit too philosophical for your...
And the whole thing of we shouldn't care as much as we do. Okay, go away. If you really don't care about football and don't think anyone should care about football, take your $30 million, donate it to some charity, and you just go away and live a simple life somewhere where no one will care about you. That whole mentality from every athlete entertainer really, really goes up my bunghole.
And then it comes back out.
Thanks. Yeah, it comes back out pretty quickly.
You don't find that annoying?
Orange firework.
I do think it's a little bit, not hypocritical, but ironic.
Like, he seems to really enjoy private jets and fancy restaurants and stuff like that came from football.
Right. If it wasn't for the infatuation that fans have, he wouldn't have all that stuff.
It's like, another celebrity who wants all the good and none of the bad.
Right.
You can't always have it that way. You take the good, you take the bad.
Well, I think he is reaching
both than you have.
But it is interesting, though. I mean, he's reaching that point in his life where
priorities.
Yeah, he's starting to, understand that there is more. He said it before, and it'll be interesting to see what he does after football. I don't think he's going to be, hearing more and more of that. I don't think he'll be the kind of guy that will have to be pushed out.
No.
If anything, you think he might retire earlier?
A little bit earlier. Maybe.
O'Connell, get on your horse. Develop.
People have speculated he might go into politics. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, he does. He does talk about like now he wants to like spread the message and
I'm only on page two.
Something, and he's have you, Fred. Two. You like to fancy yourself. What do you call him, Paul? A pseudo
intellect.
I do.
No, not you.
You read the book
Fancy.
The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz?
I have not.
Brady now lives his life by that book.
Right.
That is like his, I guess it's not his Bible.
As long as one of the agreements is to throw touchdowns, I'm all for him reading
book. There's another interesting aspect in here, football related, beyond all the crap and philosophy, of a Bills game last year where it was 2nd and 1 and they were up 17. McDaniels said, just get the first down. And Brady said to Moss, go deep. And he lobbed it up for a touchdown. And Josh yelled at him coming off the field. And he said, how was that?
Every time I say something wrong.
They yanked him out of the game after that when they went up 24, apparently.
It seems like every great player has one of those stories where they go against what their coach said and it worked out. Yeah. They don't tell you about all the times that it didn't work out. Yeah.
Right. He doesn't work out anymore. He doesn't listen to coaches anymore. He doesn't think people should care about football anymore.
Don't you think they would have pulled him after getting a 24-point lead anyway?
God, no. Did you watch last year?
They better not this year.
They ran the score up.
They better not this year.
But, Fred, my line was going to
be... I was at the game.
The irony in the AFC East with the quarterbacks is the guy who retired really still wanted to play, and the guy who's still playing mentally retired 2 years ago.
Oh, see now?
Cute. That's terrible. Adam in Burlington, Ontario, love the show. Been listening for over a year, but this is my first time writing in as I don't get to listen live. I think it's pretty clear that Belichick isn't that thrilled with the implementation of the defensive headsets, and I'm wondering if he will simply forgo using them at all this year.
I don't think
sounds like he is not going to use. He certainly won't be using it early.
No.
So I doubt that.
And I actually think his first signal of the year might be a middle finger.
It could be.
Well, the big problem with this is you can't have two players mic'd on the field at the same time.
Right. So and you can't have more than two in a game.
Yeah, so he doesn't. These guys
so
sub
if Teddy Bruschi breaks his leg,
minutes.
Well, you're down to one.
It makes no sense. More
too many bugs.
He brings something interesting. I'm also wondering if you think Belichick might use the headset as a teaching tool rather than to call signals. For example, the team would continue to use only hand signals to call the defense, but could give it to Mayo. And then simply explain things to him while he's in the game.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
You could. Can't stop.
You can say anything you want into the mouthpiece until it shuts off. So
you can sing if you want. You can do
not just sing, maybe even give it to Wheatley, too.
That's right. Anyway, keep up the good work and keep the not-so-subtle jabs aimed at
I held my nose, I closed my eyes.
He said that Paul had a nice jab yesterday.
Tuesday.
Aimed at somebody who will not be mentioned.
Indeed.
Let's see. Again, I want to remind everyone that Andre is coming by in about half an hour. So if you have any emails that you want, any questions you want to ask him, put tip in the subject line so that I know.
Just the tip.
Right.
Okay, enough.
That's two P's, Andy.
Mike's not going to fit in here if I'm not allowed to say stuff like that.
If I'm calming you down.
That's it.
Then
you're going to Rook.
Yeah, seriously.
He wants to make sure that this job is still available in a few months.
Yeah, exactly.
Am I the only one who chuckles every time they put Woody Johnson on the screen?
No.
Yes, you are.
So they have a tackle named Woody and an owner named
Woody. How about the USLC guy named Dick Pound?
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah.
The Jets also have Dick Curl, don't they? Isn't he an assistant for them?
Yeah. that's funny.
That is good. Who was that, Gary? Somebody's on the phone?
Anthony in Naples.
Anthony in Naples is on the phone. Anthony!
Every time, Fred, huh?
Every time is right.
It's not just you. He forgets about everyone. He's lost his mind.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Every time.
Is that a gunshot off in the background? What happened there?
So what do you think about Brett Favre in the division?
Wow. I was actually calling to see what consensus was over there. I just, you know, I couldn't even wait to get home and listen to the podcast. I want to know what do you guys think?
I think it mildly improves their chances of beating the Bills for that wild card spot that might be up for grabs, but I don't think it dramatically increases their chances of making the Super Bowl.
I think the Jets are a playoff team.
You think so?
Yep.
I don't. I think.
And Fred thinks the Bills are going to sweep the Jets.
I think at best they're 8-8, and they're probably more like 6-10.
I think 8-8 is probably about
everything they did
up.
This offseason is only good for 2 wins?
Yes, because
they brought in like 10 guys. And you give them 2 more wins.
It doesn't matter. It's all about chemistry.
Well, then, to answer that earlier email, if they add 2 wins this year, Mangini's out and Tannenbaum, too.
That could be. It could be.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think it's an 8-8 team. You know what? Faneca, I guess, was a good signing, but he was just a big name. There's a reason why Pittsburgh didn't want him. You know, maybe he's on a decline.
He is old. I mean,
it was money.
Right.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh always lets their free agents. They're very consistent. Right. They always let their free agents go.
And I'll be honest, I don't like to pay a guards a ton of money either.
No, I don't blame him.
You know, there's still a lot of questions on that offensive line. I personally think, if they're able to run the ball and Brett can just manage the game, I know everybody hates that saying, but I don't know. For him to come away from Green Bay playing 16 seasons in the same system and then, like, you know, they're going to have to work together as in, you know, the offensive coordinator and Brett to, like, kind of find a dumbed-down system so he can learn quickly. Not only did he lose training camp, but he lost, you know, pretty much the first game of the preseason. It's, I don't know.
He didn't come all this way to be Trent Dilfer and manage games. I mean, he's coming here to throw the ball.
Well, but to some degree, he was more of a manager last year. That's what I praised him for, is using Ryan Grant when they were succeeding, dumping off at times, and then he stopped doing that when they needed him to do that most, and it kind of snowballed.
And the biggest games of the year.
Right, and when he was being the manager, he had his best season of the last few years.
He completed over 66% of his passes last year, which was a career high for him. And I don't see him doing all those things again. That's why I'm not buying the Jets' playoff run under Brett Favre. I think they had as good a chance to make the playoffs without him. I really do.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah. There's no way about that.
The only thing I'll give him is that at least he has that big arm to stretch the field, you know, which you didn't get with Pennington.
He does, but he threw a lot of picks doing that.
Yeah, it's true, and I absolutely agree, but I'm saying, like, at least it's going to be – you don't have to cover, like, a 25-yard field, you know, like you do with Pennington.
Yeah.
With Pennington, you literally had almost zero fear of getting beat deep.
Exactly. You know, it's just one of those things. I think, really, the Jets are doing it to sell tickets.
Well, winning games would sell tickets.
Right. I think they're a better team.
I think they think they're a better team now with him, and I think they think they're a contender with him.
I think they're a better – now, there's probably some degree of that. I'm sure Woody Johnson was very much involved, first off, from everything we hear, that he pushed to get it done. And they're having that whole PSL thing, too.
I was just going to say, there's a lot of PR problems that the Jets and the Giants are having right now with some of their fans.
But if you become worse, your PR problems are worse.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this question, guys, all of you. Let me ask you. Obviously, AFC East. Who do you think wins that?
Patriots.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's go to the West. Who do you think wins that?
Chargers.
Yep. Okay. When we go to up north, who do you think wins that?
Pittsburgh.
Cleveland.
Cleveland. Okay. Pittsburgh. That's a debate. We'll put that Cleveland team as a contender for the wild card. Let's go down to the South. Who do you think wins that?
Indy.
And then out of the South, there was 2 playoff teams from that division last year.
Won't be this year.
I don't think that'll happen again.
They'll be lucky to get
it. I know it won't happen again, but my point is
it might,
that
but I don't. I think Jacksonville is a legitimate playoff team. Tennessee is not.
Okay.
So you
have Jacksonville taking in the wild card. They're fighting the AFC, the rest of the AFC, for 1 wild card spot.
Well,
but that's
what, that's just how I.
The rest is maybe 2 or 3 teams they're fighting.
Right. They're basically fighting the second place team in the North.
Mm-hmm.
The third place team probably in the South, and that's it.
Yeah, they're not fighting anybody else out west.
And maybe the second place team in the South. Well, we just talked about the schedules.
Maybe Denver.
I know Broncos had a lot of turnover, but you know, the whole thing with Cutler and the diabetes, and they didn't find out about it, I think that was a big deal. Yeah,
but they have a lot of other issues.
I think their issues are on defense, yeah. To be honest with you.
But the whole team, they've had just issues after issues, it seems like, for like 3 years.
I think it's a team on the decline, and well, I think they'll continue to decline.
I think they're a bit of a zoo, personally, in the last couple of years.
I agree with you.
Could be.
That's why it wasn't Jim
Shanahan's
Bates' fault.
Last year in Denver. That's my prediction.
Yeah. We know the Raiders aren't getting any better. It doesn't look like Kansas City's picked up anybody.
How do we know the Raiders aren't getting any better?
Oh, they're not.
They're
getting
awful.
They're not.
Come on.
Hey, look, we say this stuff.
They don't really have a coach.
But we say this stuff every year at this time, and every year there's three teams that no one thinks anything of that end up being pretty good teams. I don't know what
I don't think
the
Raiders are a playoff team, but I think, I mean, they drafted supposedly a franchise quarterback and a franchise running back over the last couple of years, and I think to say just flat out they're not getting any better is a bit.
Okay.
One of those teams could be Houston this year.
That could be.
The problem is they play in that AFC South.
Yeah. Last year, Cleveland. Who
they should have been in the playoffs.
Did anybody
last
think
year.
They were a 10-win team last year?
I did.
Come on.
No, no. Can I rewind the tape?
I want to give you my goodbyes, guys, because I know you guys have a lot more to talk about. So
you got pools to clean, right?
My take on it. I think 9-7 at the best, and I think they missed the playoffs.
All right.
And I think you guys laugh at me, but I really think that the Bills are going to be a playoff contender.
No,
this
I don't
year.
Laugh at you. I think they could be fighting
for
that wild card spot.
Jets will be lucky to go 9-7. I don't think they will.
Let's talk about that a little bit then. Like, what about Buffalo? Has you having that much confidence?
I think that.
You're laughing at it. I'm not trying to be a smart ass. Like
no,
I
think.
I'm
I thought
serious.
You were trying to set him up.
Not at all.
Okay, smart shot. Who's the quarterback?
No, what did they go 8-8 last year?
Yeah.
Well, 7-9, 8-8, 7-9, something like that. Mediocre. Yeah.
You know, I think they were like you said, they were competitive last year.
I think they played really hard, with the exception of that Sunday night.
Right.
Well,
well that
Patriots.
Was ridiculous. Yeah. I think Dick Geron is a good coach.
I do.
I think
that.
You know, other than Belichick, he might be the best coach in the AFC East. Well, there's no one close to Belichick.
Yeah.
You know,
well, first of all, one of them was disqualified from the competition.
Right.
And the other one's never coached a game. Right. So we kind of won it by
default. Using your scenario, your rules.
I just think that they've got a solid team. I don't think that they've had to deal with all the crap that the Jets and the Dolphins have dealt with in the last year. I think they're going to come back this year building on what they did last year rather than really kind of starting over. Mm-hmm. Like the Jets and the Dolphins are doing.
I don't know if I buy as much as you do, but I argue with Andy, and this was before Favre, so it's unfair, both sides.
I think it's perfectly fair.
But I argued with Andy that I thought that Buffalo was the Patriots' toughest competitor in the AFC East. Andy took the Jets. I like all the stuff the Jets did, but I looked at the Buffalo situation. I think they were better last year. I think they showed they had a lot of young guys on defense, and a lot of those guys got hurt. They had shown promise before they got injured, and then they came, you know, now they have some of those guys coming back. In addition to that, I thought Marcus Stroud is an excellent pickup in the offseason for their defensive line. I kind of like Trent Edwards. I don't think that he's going to be this all-pro in the making or
he's
anything like that.
Better, he's certainly better than Lossman.
Mm-hmm. But he's a major upgrade over Lossman, who I never
he's
thought
he's been their
albatross
the last few years.
And
Lossman is horrible.
I think I could see Buffalo, at the very least, repeating an 8-8. 9-7 kind of a year, and I'm not sure that the Jets are any better than that. So,
And that could get you the wild card.
I like their defense. I like the young guys on defense that didn't really get a chance to play a lot last year.
I like
year.
The defense. It's their offense.
They can't move the ball.
They really can't.
But I like Lynch, too.
Marshawn Lynch
See,
is
I'm
pretty
not sold
good.
On him.
I think he's going to peter out after so many carries.
I don't
like
think he's a guy.
Horse.
And no. he has to be.
Oh, absolutely.
If he's not that guy, then they're done.
But they
and
also
And I'm not sure he is.
But they also have Lee Evans. And they drafted
all of a sudden, and he was supposedly building this rapport with Lossman. Like, remember they had the ridiculous end to the that was the year before,
all, for that it was all like these bombs, and you know,
well that's fine. They didn't hit those anymore.
That's a tenuous way to live.
And they had some where they were big plays.
He had a better year last year than you thought he did.
Who, Evans?
Yeah.
Not sold on their offense.
Gary, can you look that up for me? Lee Evans last year.
All right, let's see.
And who's the guy out of Indiana, the receiver? Hardy?
Oh, Hardy, James Hardy.
You know, I don't know how good he is, and, you know, never mind. I don't know how good he is, so we'll have to see.
Neither does anyone else who's ever been on the
show. Good job, Paul.
Thank you.
Let's see. Dr. X, otherwise known as J.D., and his...
whose email address, if you're wondering, is...
Embrace the Hate in 08 and 97% far-free email. I imagine you've already waded through the enough... Will Brett Favre make the Jets a Super Bowl favorite? Emails. So here's a related question, suggestion, and observation.
John Dennis.
How will this year be different? Okay, Fred, the offense will be unstoppable. In the words of Big Poppy, we will kick their asses, drink their beer, and rape their bitches. No, we don't say
That's
that.
The word of...
Well, you just did.
No, we don't say that. He says...
Fine, but last year things...
David Ortiz is on the record saying
that? I don't think
Race
David
the
Ortiz
hate, no way, baby.
I don't remember that quote.
Maybe it's another Big Poppy.
Oh. Maybe you're a Big Poppy, because I think I remember you saying that.
Oh, okay. Fine, but last year things did not work out so well near the end. They proved quite stoppable. What are some of the things that we hope will be different? Or is it just that Belichick has burned the red hoodie? In my opinion, I just think they'll be more running. They'll be able to control the clock better.
The running game and the screen game.
They're
going
to have
to,
because they can't put up those numbers again.
No.
They just can't.
No.
And that's the other thing. The expectations.
But I am worried about that offensive line right now.
Yes.
Well, so is Paul. He's packing in the season. The expectations aren't there.
I simply said that the offensive line is my main concern, and Andy says I'm packing in the season.
Well, that's what he does.
Right.
You know, he takes your comment and he just, you know, takes it to the extreme and.
It's called good radio.
He's carved out a little career for himself. Give him credit. He's carved out a little career for himself with that nonsense.
Dr. X also says, Rook and Eric in 08 embrace the Schadenfreude,
Fred.
Okay. I just he says, I can just anticipate Eric correcting Fred's pronunciation. There it goes. no, I was never an Eric basher. I have always enjoyed his contributions, but I have also thought Rook needs someone else with him.
Someone,
I can understand
anyone.
Eric cannot spend 4 hours a day talking, so perhaps people could rotate a guest host once a week.
Eric doesn't talk on this show.
That's a very
idea.
Good suggestion, and one that I believe the wheels have been put in motion. Fred, are you involved in this?
With the picks? Whoever has the worst picks has to do
no,
Rook.
No, not quite. But Gary has come up with a pretty good solution.
A suitable alternative. Wait a minute. Does this involve all of us going to Rook?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, calm down over there.
No, it's going to involve...
Because I'm going to pull an Eric. I'm not going to Rook.
Brian Lowe is going to do some stuff with John on Tuesdays, at least an hour on Tuesdays. And Eric is going to do an hour on...
Either Wednesday
or Thursday. He can do the picks with us, and then... You know, so the second hour on Thursday, he can do the picks with us, and then stay for the first hour of Rook.
I can hear Paul Andy screaming negatively, so I will file that away with my suggestion that you guys get Belichick to record an Urban Dictionary word of the day.
I think that would be fantastic.
Wow. I do, too. I wouldn't count on that happening.
Gary, can you pull that off, Gary? No, he's shaking his head.
Is there any?
I'd have to fake it with his press conferences.
I was going to say, has he said enough in 7-8 years that you could pull it all together?
I'm pretty sure
he said Cleveland. He has said
no,
Andy.
No, I think I said
he's
that,
Steamer.
Andy.
He's talked about Stanley Morgan. Did he say Steamer?
Yeah, but Andy.
No, but
he's
talking about
Hart's Urban Dictionary.
He has heart. Nobody has more Hart. He must have said Hart at some point.
Would you, for Christ's sake?
He's definitely said Hart.
He's talked about Urban Meyer.
Urban, yes.
So,
dictionary, he might have said.
Dictionary, we have to.
Did you just shush me?
I did shush you. You deserve to be shushed. You never shut up.
Eric shushed.
Did
Paul.
You shush me?
See, we're used to talking because you don't talk.
Yeah, I mean, I just assume you have nothing to say. You don't.
Paul's taking offense.
Plus, when you do say something, it's irrelevant. The only thing you bring to this show is Schadenfreude and telling Fred how to say things.
Given who the host is, that happens quite a bit, don't you think?
I actually said it right, but he couldn't wait,
right.
You know?
You didn't say it right.
It's the Prince of Pomposity.
Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude.
Richie Caldwell doing a press conference. Oh, wait, that's Ted Thompson. What's wrong with his eyes?
Nick writes in, we all love the Mayo pick and how he's progressing. However, if you could trade Mayo for Patrick Willis straight up, would you?
Yes.
Well, he's proven.
I'd have to see Willis
play.
I've never seen Willis play one game.
And
I would trade one love for the other because I love both of them.
No, Paul?
I also need to say, while we're on rookie linebacker talk, despite what you may be hearing on other outlets in the Boston area, Sean Crable has not looked good. He has not looked overly bad. He had one bad play that he got called out for by Larry Izzo and Bill Belichick, and then Adalys Thomas sort of consoled him, it looked like, on a goal line play. But
he's been anonymous.
He hasn't done much.
Yeah.
And there's other media outlets reporting they're really excited about what Sean Crable's doing down at training camp. What? What? Nothing.
Yeah. His numbers were down, but not. I don't think as bad as you made it out to be now. He had 82 catches in 06, but that was far and away his best year. He had 48, 48, 82, and then down to 55 last year. But still averaged 15.4 yards a catch off of 15.8 in his career year, so that's roughly the same. And he had 5 TDs to 8 the year before.
Who was this, Lee Evans?
Yeah, Lee Evans. His numbers were down, but I don't. I mean, with the transitioning quarterback, I don't think it was that big a drop-off. He had 849 receiving yards last year for a pretty bad team.
Somebody's got to have the yards. He's Rishay Caldwell.
Matt from Quincy, AFC East got a little more interesting today.
The AFC title game, but, you know, I'm splitting hairs.
Matt from Quincy, the only thing I can say is that I think I'm glad that the Pats play the Jets in the second game of the season and not the first, though it will be the Jets' first home game with Brett. I don't think the Jets are very good, and the only thing I think that would put them over the top against the Pats would be the emotional bounce of the first game of the season with Brett as the QB.
Yeah, I disagree with that a little bit. I think that it would be more apt that Favre isn't ready. And the earlier you get him, the better,
right,
to me, because I would think you'd have a less of a chance of him really being ready to go in terms of physically, condition-wise,
and
playbook
the,
you know, mentally.
Working with his receivers, because don't, you know.
Yeah. But wouldn't you think, you know, the first.
I didn't hear the email.
No, I'd rather have him early.
Would you rather play him earlier than later?
Or later.
Favre. You'd rather play him earlier.
Early.
Yeah,
because he wouldn't be as ready, both mentally and physically. I would think that he would take some time to get adjusted.
The Pats are going to get the chance to do both because they'll play him in week two, and then what is it, week 11 or 12?
Now, I think
play the Jets again. So
the time that you wouldn't really want to play him, to me, is week 5, 6, you know, so it's early enough that the season's not lost if things go bad.
Right, and they're still fighting.
And he conceivably would be ready to go.
Just thought of that joke. Should I say
it? I don't know. I have an idea of what your ridiculousness would be. I don't have any idea.
Or after his dad dies.
Oh, that's nice.
See now.
Joel says he just heard that Pennington.
Gary gave me a disappointing look.
Yeah, disappointing.
He just heard that Pennington is going to the Vikings. I don't know if that's.
That's not a good pick for them.
I don't think so. I mean, the Vikings were not interested at all in Favre, according to Adam Schefter.
Why would they? They got a great starting quarterback.
I don't know if that's the case.
According to Schefter, the Vikings were not interested in making any deals for Favre.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would be interested in Pennington if you weren't interested.
Yeah, but that just
Favre.
Means that the Vikings told Schefter we had no interest in Favre.
Although, I will say this.
Talk about house organ, league organ.
Pennington. Might make more sense for a team. You know, they're asking Tavares Jackson to kind of be the manager. You know, let's hand the ball to Adrian Peterson, stripper's boy, and let's play defense and let's keep the score down and let not make mistakes. Pennington might better fit into that category than Favre.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think Pennington would want to stick it to the Jets. That's why I think he would probably want to come here.
He won't get to
play. But he doesn't get to stick it to the Jets by coming here.
He does if they win at all.
He gets to, you know, hold a
clipboard.
He gets a ring.
He can do that in Miami, too.
But if he gets a ring.
Yeah, but he's not going to get a ring in Miami.
No, do you really think that's any satisfaction for him?
Yes. Why wouldn't it be?
It'd be more satisfaction to go to Miami and beat them on the field.
That would be his, you know, even if.
Certainly.
Even if Miami went 4-12, but they found a way to beat the Jets once or twice and maybe
knock them out of the playoffs.
That's how he could stick it to them. Going, 14-2 with the Patriots as Tom Brady's caddy, I don't think that does anything.
No, but they're bringing Favre in ostensibly to try to win them a Super Bowl. And they're kicking Pennington out, saying that he can't win them a Super Bowl.
He's not going to have any effect on them not winning.
But he's not, yeah.
No, but he'll have a ring. So now, I'm saying he can always.
So does Ray Bork and Louis Soho. And
now, if somehow, Eric, if
Eric Mangini can say, I got a ring.
If he gets, I mean, if he gets the opportunity to play. And has some success as a Patriots quarterback, then I think you're in.
Alan Faneca. Lots of Jets have rings.
Kieran in Ireland says, I'd like to welcome Michael on his first official day on the job.
Hi.
Good stuff to get Tippett to come on the show. Can't wait to hear from him. Who says Fred doesn't try anymore? Well, that's actually Gary.
And Fred had no such knowledge of it when I said, at 1:30, and what?
I haven't emailed in a while because I recently got a job, but it sucks, so I quit after 4 weeks.
They let you drink on the job?
Now I know how it feels to be underappreciated and underpaid. Paul and Andy know what I'm talking about.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dayton Hoban.
P.S., a word of advice for Perillo. If there isn't any grass in the field, you may as well trim the hedges.
when that started, I thought it was going in an entirely different direction.
Oh, boy.
Whoa. That one scared me for a little
bit.
I'll tell you what, I'm so confident they're
going
to win. If they lose, I'll let you shave it.
Is that a promise?
Hey. You don't have to bring up that bet just because I didn't pay up.
That was a faux pas on Gary's part.
Let's see.
And yes, Michael, you're the one, the other avenue of hair on the field. You're the one we worry about there.
Chris with a T-I-A-N, Simonelli, writes in.
Fred. Just say it.
He's a religious.
Finally, some real football. Interested to see how the rookies and new guys will do. Is Chad Jackson in danger of being cut? from what I've read on the blog, it seems like he has not taken hold of the number two position.
Yeah, he's been Paul loves down. Him. He's been up and down.
Well, we'll see tonight, and we'll see in the
Andy's
next few
in
weeks.
Mid-season form.
I think he's going to be cut, but Paul loves
the
him.
Facts.
Right.
About a week ago, you told me you loved him. Then a day
about
later,
a
I read,
ago, I
who's
told
not?
You, I thought
Chad
he had
Jackson
a...
is cut.
First of all, I never said anything about him getting cut. You really are. You do a disservice
he's
to
He's an awful
listeners.
Human being.
You do
he
a disservice.
You're up on that fence.
No, I'm not on the fence. I don't think he's had a good camp. But I don't think he's going to get cut.
What Andy
either.
Doesn't realize is that he's going to really cause his own downfall, too, because the day we all get fired, they'll say, well, you said that. And say, no, I didn't. Well, look, here's the tape, Andy Hart, saying you said that, you know?
No. We're all fine. We're doing a great radio show here.
That
we're expanding.
For about a week, I thought
he looked... The waistline's expanding. I don't know about anything else.
Hey. Mine's not.
Oh.
Those guys are.
I thought he looked average at best for about a week. Then there was a day...
I like the fat jokes, though. Keep it up.
...that I mentioned to Andy, and unfortunately, I should never tell him what I actually think during the course of a practice. I thought he had his best day. He was making some nice catches. It was a day inside, by the way, so it was raining that day. I don't know which one it was.
So he made Dragosevich?
He made some nice catches. I thought he looked good. He showed some of that athleticism that we, you know, have been waiting to see. And then he kind of reverted back to his earlier camp form. He was dropping a lot of passes and... Just overall
been,
not looking like he was where he was supposed to be.
See, he hasn't done what we expected him to do in this game.
So to me, the good days were the day easy. The good days
I was
going to
see if Gary was going to get worried what would come after the
few
year.
And far between, in my opinion.
I don't know if there's enough in the stable to just flat out cut the guy.
Yeah, I don't see him getting cut.
No, but he's been inconsistent.
Cut.
As for Favre, I don't think it makes the Jets a playoff team because the AFC is loaded.
You're
I personally
right.
think
You're
he
wrong.
Will drive Mangini nuts with his all-out sling it mentality.
You're right.
Do you
right.
guys think Mangini will be able to handle Favre?
No.
I don't think anyone's ever been able to handle Favre.
Especially since
except
he's older.
Holmgren
kind of worked.
Was the only one, and it
he's
really took
Mangini,
him. It took him a long time.
Right.
Say what?
He's older than Mangini. I
yes,
believe,
that's
right?
correct.
Yeah.
So yeah,
he's also older,
be talking to me, you
he's also older than yeah. the offensive coordinator, whatever Schottenheimer's got that. Brian,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
and he's older than his quarterback's coach, Brian Daboll, probably.
No question about that.
He's 50 years old.
No way, so. Brian Dable's 38.
Chris with the TIAN, love it. Says Chris with the TIAN.
Why can't you say it, Fred?
Because now it's
just
funny.
Having fun.
No,
Eric.
But why can't
you have a sense
fun.
Of humor? There's questions that just can't be answered.
You see, this is, you know, you were going good. You know, you had the little shot at me.
He can't
you
stand when
Fred.
Somebody sits in that
funny.
Chair. When he's alone on this side of the desk, he's funny, he's dirty, he makes inappropriate comments. Somebody sits in this chair and you turn into a DB again.
I agree with Frederick.
Hey, he's on, talking man. To Eric, not me. I don't care what you call me. Just call me.
Jake yeah. Steele. That's what he wants you to call
him. I don't know.
Jake Steele.
Benjamin writes in, pertaining to the conversation
Watson?
Of steals.
Why isn't he been with a
for round picks? Marquise Colston is the best example of a steal from the seventh round. It was one of the best receivers in the league last year.
Is that accurate?
It's good enough for me.
Marquise Colston was a seventh round pick.
Yeah. No, I know that, but is he the best ever?
Well, that's debatable.
Oh, no.
Go back in time and look, but
Jamal, but he is a good example.
Jamal Anderson
is
a
good
example. Seventh round pick. He rushed for almost 2,000 yards 1 year and led the team to the Super Bowl.
I'm sorry. Were you talking?
What was Terrell Davis?
Jackpot.
Was he sixth round.
Sixth round
sixth
pick
round.
For Terrell Davis.
Okay.
I wasn't mouth just let a bird fly.
But
in.
I wasn't looking for an example of a guy who was a steal. I was looking for a classification. You know,
of
what,
steal?
What
there
would
is
Math,
none.
What would Matthew Slater have to do to be classified as a fifth
make,
round steal?
Make
That's
Pro Bowls.
Catch 40 balls.
Oh, I don't think he has to make Pro Bowls. I think he has to make solid impact for a extended period of time.
I agree.
Not one kickoff return and then go away.
I agree. He'd have to do more to me than Bethel Johnson. Even,
oh, God, yeah.
Which wouldn't take
to be
lots.
Considered a steal.
Make the team.
Dan
yeah.
Copen
right.
is, to me, a fifth-round steal.
Sure.
He's been a starter almost since day
He's
one.
He plays every game, yeah.
All right, let's take a break, and we have Tip on the other side. Yeah, we'll have Tip on the other side. We'll be right back.
The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there. The Revolution 4-Game Supporters Pack is the ticket to the best matches of the summer. Be there when the Revolution take on Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, Ante Razov and Chivas USA, and David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. It sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order the 4-Game Supporters Pack to guarantee you're in the building for the best matches of the season. 4-packs start at just $64. Order now and get a Revolution Supporters scarf free. Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222, or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises
to that beat.
Passion.
Oh, my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution. Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins. Eric's had a tough time opening up on PFW in Progress. They begged and pleaded and still nothing. Come on, Eric.
No, not in the last 2 days, no.
No.
I was not talking about that.
I don't care.
No, I'm not talking to you about this.
We're wondering if it's just on the radio or if it's the same deal upstairs. We've placed our hidden microphones in Eric's cube to get the scoop. Let's listen in.
Hey, Eric, I'm going to grab lunch. You want anything?
Sorry, no. I'm not talking about it.
Hey, Eric, do you know what Belichick's press conference is?
Don't worry about that. We're not going into that territory.
Hey, Eric, my internet seems to be down. Is yours working?
There's a moratorium on that issue.
Hey, did you watch the Idol final? I can't believe David Cook won.
No.
Hey, Eric, how's it going?
I'm not doing it with you, no.
Hey, Eric, did you do the blitz today?
I said too much. That part I'm not going to talk about.
Eric, $4.09 a gallon. Can you believe these gas prices?
Enough, both of you. Enough.
Hey, Eric, make sure you tell your friends to check out the new edition of Patriots Today.
What the hell are you doing?
Oh, my God, Eric, he's choking. Do the Heimlich maneuver.
No, not at all.
Thank you for calling Gillette Stadium. How may I direct your call? All right, Eric, take it easy. Have a good night.
No, I'd have to say no.
Whoa, well, all right, Eric. We'll see what happens on the next show.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Why do we have to go on the air and make a big deal about it?
Here in PFW in Progress, Todd Porter says that Eric is the boil on the ass of Patriots Nation. I just thought I'd throw that in there. All right, as promised.
Why do you insist on reading those emails, Fred?
What?
Because
they're short and pithy.
Pithy?
Yeah.
Wow. We're going to have to look that up for Andy.
It's a Bill O'Reilly word, isn't it?
All right, so as promised, Andre Tippett, fresh from Canton. His bust is immortalized in the hall. And Andre, first off, congratulations from everybody in the organization. I know last week was a big week. You met the whole organization. You went out with the fans. And I hear, according to someone who was there, you actually was the opening act for Bruce Springsteen.
I think so.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. first of all, thank you guys. Thank you all. You guys were there. And I had a wonderful send-off heading out to Canton. And I really think that that helped me kind of collect myself and just say, hey, look, you know, you need to, you know, pull it together. It's been emotional. And I think I was really able to...
Nobody gets away here.
I think I was able to pull my emotions together and sort of just kind of let my hair down a little bit before I headed out to Canton, because Canton to me was really serious, and I wanted to be able to kind of give people my my thank you note. And but from Coach Belichick to the players to the organization to you guys and the fans, so everybody got a chance to kind of cheer me on and, you know, and give me a nice send-off. It was really beautiful. And and then obviously, you know, being in Canton from Thursday till Monday was unbelievable. It was a day that I'll never – well, it was a weekend that I'll never forget.
I don't think people realize how emotional and really difficult it is to prepare for that, because, you know, it's the ultimate achievement. And then you get on that stage and you need to perform. And I heard you – I was listening to Sirius right after the induction ceremony. You got on with Pat Kerwin – and Tim Ryan, and you explained kind of your mindset and what you were thinking about, you know, going up on that stage. Share that with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. You have to perform. It's your 10 to 30 minutes if you choose to talk that long, if you want to disregard everybody else that's waiting. But
we won't mention any names.
You have that small window of opportunity to just say, hey, thank you, Canton. Thank you, Pro Football Committee. Thank you, spokesperson, representative, Ron Borges. Thank you, the owner. You know, and so, you know, you want to make sure it's tight so you can get your message and you don't lose yourself in there, because you can easily get caught up in the emotion. And but for me, I looked at it as, okay, Andre, this is your last performance. You got your uniform on. It's the fourth quarter. You're playing over the tight end. You can't get hooked. You got to get some pressure on the quarterback. You got to play some sound football. And this is your last. This is the last series. After this, you're done. Now we need you big, and that's what I was telling myself the whole time in the back area, in the staging area, as we were preparing to walk out on the stage. And I said, you need to play like you played, the way the people looked at you and view you as a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
It got me through it. It really did.
You came through. I mean, you know, you got the message out there that you wanted to go up and talk about. I was reading Eric's story, and he talked to you at length prior to going out. And you mentioned something about, you know, you moved up from Alabama with pretty much nothing, you and your mom. What was it like for your mom? Because I saw her out in the
She was awesome, by the way.
Over the top. She
had a blast.
My mom has been over the top since high school.
Yeah.
And this is the same woman that didn't want me to play football. And then she realized that, you know, this is a great venue for my son to be in and an environment to be in. And she became, obviously, my biggest fan. I mean, you know. She wasn't a critic. She was just a fan. She was always my fan. And, she's special. For us growing up, it was tough. My mom actually left when I was about 5 and left me and my sister with my grandmother. So my grandmother, you know, basically was raising us and, you know, doing different things like that until my mom was able to go to Newark, get a job, get on her feet, establish herself an apartment. And, you know, she had a bunch of friends that all kind of left Birmingham at the same time to go to Newark. So when she established herself, she was able to send for me and my sister. And we actually flew up on the old TWA Airlines to Newark, New Jersey. And that was like really the first time I'd ever been on an airplane. It was pretty cool.
All alone?
Me and my sister, yep.
Yeah, yep. Yep.
Just us two. And our journey started there. I mean, it was, you know, she didn't have a lot. I mean, she went from a job to another job. And, you know, throughout the years we struggled. But you know what? We never went hungry. We didn't have, as I said, we didn't have material advantages. To even have $10 to join the local Boys and Girls Club. I mean, you know, good thing I was a decent kid that, you know, people didn't mind looking the other way when I came through the check-in desk and they just let me in. And, you know, I wandered around and did my thing. And it was different, though. But it was, you know, back then, you know, you didn't need a whole lot. You just needed to have something. And we had togetherness. And we were, you know, we were together, and we got through it.
Yeah. And, you know, also it was written, and it's a fact, that you were actually cut from your high school football team at one point.
Oh, man. Frank Migliorini, he regretted the day I ever aired our dirty laundry in public like that, because it was like, you know, there's no way Andre Tippett got cut from football. And, you know, and the story kind of took on its own life, and, you know, it was said that, well, I got cut for another reason, but it really wasn't. The reason why I got cut, I just didn't do anything to stand out. I'd never played organized football. Everybody else that made the JV team had played Pop Warner or some organized football. And, I was in my school clothes. Went out, tried out every day, And at the end of the week, the list was up. My name wasn't on it. I mean, I probably would have did the same thing had I been in the same position as a coach trying to develop my talent and my players. And I do it now with Pop Warner, so I could easily make the mistake. And got cut. It devastated me. It made me really face rejection in a way that I'd never faced rejection before. So dealt with it and came back with dog determination that I was going to make the team next year, and I did. And I ended up that year we went to state championship, and I played a ton of football.
But you're like Michael Jordan. Jordan was cut from his middle school basketball team.
That.
So
I remember that.
Two Hall of Famers.
Two Hall of Famers.
Well, you know, it's so easy for kids. You know, even then, even now, they face that rejection and then they give up. You know, what made you say, no, I'm not going to give up?
Well, I think a lot of it was just the fact that I think my mother, all the lessons, the life lessons that were being taught at such a young age, I had to be a man at 7 years old. Mm. I took on a lot of responsibility around the house. I mean, you're talking about your Saturday chores of either going to the laundromat or grocery shopping or washing the dishes at 7 years old. And, I could barely reach the sink. My mom said, pull up a chair, get up in the chair and wash the dishes. I did it. And so over the years of handling that responsibility, being the oldest in the family, it was just, you just worked. You worked, you did things, and, you know, it's just, I think because of all of that and really having the rejection hit me in my face. And then after I got cut, I followed the JV team and the varsity team that year. So, you know, I really got the bug then. I'm like, man, I could have been out there with these guys playing. I could have had my name called. I could have been doing a whole, I mean, I'm going out without it. Without hesitation, I said, I'm going back out next year. I guarantee you I'm going to make this team. And I ended up making the team. I played. I think our JV schedule was like six games. And then after that, you got handpicked to go up to the varsity team. And I think out of the 25 guys, I think they sent eight guys up to varsity. And it was cool.
Yeah.
It's great. No, Tip, I had a little question about your weekend because – you know, you did a great job, like you said, of keeping your composure during your speech. And, you know, everyone just probably would assume that giving the speech was probably the highlight of the weekend. But I want to know from you, what was the highlight of your weekend?
Well, the real highlight for me, I mean, the speech is a given. It's always been that way. But I think the gold jacket presentation was the most outstanding thing that I've ever been part of. It's sort of like the coronation of professional football. You get called up on stage, you wave into the crowd, you get a chance to meet the Hall of Famers that are already in. It was about 80 guys that came up on the stage, and you're shaking their hands. It's like Deacon Jones, Raymond Berry, Lynn Swan, Mel Renfro, John Hanna, Mike Haynes, two of my teammates that I played with. And you're looking at all this greatness walking onto the stage, and it's the coronation of welcome, welcome, welcome.
Yeah.
And then after that, you sit back down, and then they bring you back out there again with your presenter, and we're coming from all different directions of the stage. And then we're taking off our jackets, and then we're getting the gold jackets presented. My hair is standing up on the back of my head, and I am so excited, you know. And then listening to the crowd, just like they're just waving, and they make you go to four corners of the stage just to acknowledge the fans and the people that are there to celebrate with you, your family. And man, it was so cool.
It's kind of like going to football heaven.
It is.
It's like here are all these greats. These
except
immortals,
you don't have to die.
And they're but they're kind of like welcome.
Yes, absolutely, you know? Absolutely.
You're
absolutely.
One of us now.
Well, the Nitschke luncheon was awesome because just what you're saying, you have a guy like Deacon Jones, who kind of spoke last, and they said Ray Nitschke used to kick this thing off for years. He emceed it. And they said by the time the luncheon was over, You had your cleats on. You had a helmet. You were strapped up and you were ready to go. And if you know Ray Nitschke, it's this guy loved football. He loved the game. He loved what the Hall of Fame stood for. But Deacon Jones stood up, and he said two things. And he said, look around you. He said, there ain't a bad football player in this room. He said, all these guys in here have been the best, very best of the best. And he said, look around you again. He says, you don't see no a-holes up in here either, right? You don't see an a-hole up in here. Everybody in here is a good guy. And it was true. It wasn't a bad person. You can't be a bad person and be up in the Hall of Fame, man. And it was really surreal.
Tip, you know what struck me about that Friday night ceremony? You know, they showed the little video intro, like the 3 or 4 minute intro before the player was introduced. And it was obviously a heavily red-skinned crowd because of Art Monk and Darryl Green being in there. Mm-hmm. And those guys obviously got a huge applause. But when they played the video clip for every player, I noticed that you got the most oohs and ahs response from that crowd. And that kind of surprised me because I figured, they'll go heavy on Art Monk and Darryl Green stuff. But the people there they were really impressed with your highlight clip. I mean, obviously with good reason, but it just kind of – did that strike you at all? Did you notice that?
It did. I heard people. I had guys, the Hall of Famers. You know, it's funny how you get to a certain point where you really don't watch other guys. And I think a lot of these guys are much, much older than me. They've been out of the game a lot longer. They tend to forget, you know, because we're so caught up with what's going on now. I mean, we know more about the players of now. And we, you know, you start talking about the 80s. 80s a long time ago. And I think people hear, they read the articles and the great things that are being said. Okay, yeah, he's going to be inducted. Like, I don't remember seeing him play that much because they were in the AFC. And people like to say, well, you know, they wasn't on TV a lot. And, you know, and people knew that we went to the Super Bowl. But real fans watched the game and saw what kind of player Andre Tippett was. But I think seeing the clips and the highlights and seeing the intensity and how consistently – you know, how he played, how he ran through people. It wasn't any of that, you know, rodeo tackling or, you know, it was. And I think people saw that and they're like, oh, man, this dude really is just
I think the
guys.
The thing about you is, you know, you were the prototypical outside linebacker. But I think, you know, the game changes over each decade. And some guys that were good 30 years ago, they say, oh, you know, he wouldn't be good in today's game. I think a player like you, you in particular, teams are still looking for Andre Tippetts. They want guys that played like you did 20 years ago. They are.
You're right. They, you hear people. You know, it's. You know, I was able to play over the tight end,
right?
Play the run, drop in the coverage. If I had a little one-on-one with the tight end down the seam, out to the flat. If I had to pick up a back out. You know, I didn't like doing those things because it was a lot of responsibility because you mess around and look the other way and the guy goes one way, you go the other way. That's a touchdown or that's a first down. So I learned to do those things and I learned to do them well. But the thing that got me over the top was the fact that I never left the field because also on top of being able to do all those other things could get to the quarterback. And people tried to make me, you know, well, he's a pass rush specialist. No. Come on. I'm not patting myself on the back, but I know – what the responsibilities were and what I was asked to do through Rod Russ defense. Play defense, play the run, play the pass. Every now and then we may block you up one-on-one with the tight end or you may have to pick up a back coming out of the backfield. Mm. But you ain't every snap just running to the quarterback.
Right.
And I never said, hey, Rod, how come I can't do what LT's doing? How come you guys can't feature me? It was never about that. It was about us playing as a defense and so people tend to, you hear it, and I kind of laugh, I cringe a little bit. And when people say, well, you know, he's a pass rush specialist, I know they don't know what they're talking about and they haven't done their homework.
Right.
And I don't say anything. I just let people talk. But I do know what I did for my career.
I mean, everyone loves watching you make those sacks. But the other thing that was just great is how you shed a block and got rid of the guy so you were in position to stop the run and, you know, seal the edge or whatever your responsibility. You know, and you were so good at that, and part of that goes back to your martial arts training, your use of your hands and your balance and your use of technique and leverage. But who was the guy probably that, and you've probably been asked this a lot over the last week, but who was the guy that you remember that could get into you the best, you know, that you had the most trouble shedding?
Well, from a tight end standpoint, you know, there are a lot of great tight ends out there, and I specifically mentioned a guy like Rodney Holman, who was tough. He was competitive. He wasn't afraid of Andre Tippett. He's like, all right, you know what, you strap it on just like I do, and we're going to get after it. He really was a guy that competed and did not allow me to, you know, as we used to say in the game, dish rag him around the field. He made me compete. He really made me pay attention to where I was putting my hands, to how I was stepping, how I was reading his helmet, and, you know, which way he was moving, what he was trying to do, if he was trying to hook me or down block or pass set or was releasing for into coverage. He was a guy that really competed really hard. And, you know, we didn't play the Giants a lot, but Mark Bavaro was another guy that I didn't mention as much as I should have, because, like I said, we didn't play them a lot, but when we did, you know, he's another guy that he didn't care who I was. You know, he practiced every day against LT and Carl Banks and all those guys and Pepper Johnson. So seeing me, it was like, all right, it's just like practice for me. And he played like that. He was a tough guy. He never gave you any emotions. He never said anything to you. He just gave you the impression that it was going to be a long day and I hope you pack your lunch. So
a couple emailers that want to say hello. One is Sean McLaughlin from Pennsylvania. He's one of our big ones. Congratulations. Big shout out to Tip. I had some good memories in high school, and the play, great play you gave us as Pats fans. Was able to hear your speech before the Springsteen concert and was glad you were the opening act, even though Springsteen does not have an opening act. Since the Jets are the big topic, I was hoping to hear Tip's stories on how he dominated the Jets and Ken O'Brien.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to talk about that. Well, one, growing up in New Jersey.
Right.
That was key. So I'm going back home. All my boys are there, and my family's going to be at the game. Every time we would go to play the Jets, I ended up with like 80 tickets. So, you know, I had a ton of people there, and I was no way I was going to come to the Meadowlands and not play the game. I tried to have my career year every time we went back to play the Jets because of family and friends and where I played my football. And the other kicker I've never mentioned to people either, my stepdad was a Jets fan. He and I would, leading up to that week, I'd be calling him, he'd call me, and, you know, and he'd give me the business. So wasn't any clips that I read. It was just my stepfather he loved Joe Namath and the Jets. And I said, all right, okay. And I couldn't find him after the game.
Right.
I could not find him after the game. He would never, you know, he'd duck and be hiding somewhere. But all that stuff factored in, and just, you know, it was the Jets was some great, they had some good teams. They just, you know, didn't get the breaks that we did early on, that 6-year period, that window where we were kind of all competing against each other, the Jets, Miami, and, you know, all of us were in that mix. But it was some good competition.
And Ken O'Brien,
had to
pay for
struggling.
Your stepdad's words, basically. Because if you watch all those videos, there's a few Ken O'Brien clips in there. And isn't there a famous story about him with his Jets teammates where you knocked the crap out of him? He started calling.
Only what was told by me by one of the teammates that we were over in the Pro Bowl, and he said, and this was the year we went to the Super Bowl, he said, man, you messed our quarterback up. And we were just in practice getting around, and I'm like, what do you mean? He said, man, you messed that dude up. He said he was on the sideline. The doctors were taking him through some tests before he could come back out into the game. And then the coaches came over to kind of run him through the script of what they were doing. They said, give me the first 5 plays that we ran off. And they said he was, swear to God, he was calling plays from high school.
So you knocked him back a couple decades.
The teammate told me that, man. I fell out laughing, man. I'm like, come on, man. Don't be messing with me. He said, no, Tip, I'm serious. They said, you're done. You're done. Stick a fork in him. He ain't going back out.
That's great. Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire says, Tip, congratulations. Well deserved and much later than it should have come. That new yellow blazer almost fits you as well as that Pats uniform did. Congratulations again.
Thank you. Yeah, the a lot of people have told me that, hey, it's long overdue, but you know what? I say to everybody, it was well worth the wait. Mm-hmm. It really, really, if I could bottle this up and then once a year open it up.
Yeah.
Now, I plan on going to Canton every year as long as I'm able to, and I'm looking forward to next year because I know I'll be able to enjoy it and a whole lot differently than I did this weekend. It was a little bit more than a blur, but it was constant. You know, yeah. We're always somewhere here, there. But the feeling, the way the people of Canton treated us, and, you know, you hear so many people in the speeches say, you know, and to the city of Canton,
right,
thank you very much for the hospitality that you bestowed upon my family and myself. And I'll never forget. It truly is that there was not one negative thing that was said to me, regardless of what happened with the team last year or, you know, things that we've been accused of, all that nonsense. But everybody, to the man, child, woman, were very gracious to us, and the people that were helping us they went bent over backwards for us. I had a driver, my wife had an assistant. Anything that I need, I just showed up on time. I had my itinerary. He said, "You're the best." He says, "You're on time." He says, "You know, we go, we come back, see me later, and that's it." He says, "Some people that we've had before, you know, they're late, got to call the room." I said, "Nah." I said, "You know, well, it's." Yeah. I said, I'm disciplined like that. So,
well, you know,
why would you want to be late for any of those things? Yeah, you know, absolutely. It's a once in a lifetime thing that you're going to get to experience going into the Hall of Fame.
You know, they say that the Hall of Fame is that ultimate individual achievement, but I disagree because when you go, Tip, you took us with you. You took your family, you took your teammates, you took your coaches, all the people that helped you, this organization. You took us with you there, and I think it's more than just it is a team thing. We're all on your team, and you took us with you. And, you know, on behalf of everybody, Patriots Nation, I just want to say thank you for what you did for this organization.
Thanks, Fred. I mentioned this to somebody. As soon as I got that word that Saturday in the hotel, I'd been inducted, and you guys saw me then. I was an emotional wreck. The next day, all I could think about as I was jotting down notes to myself about an outline, the only thing that ever entered my mind regarding the induction was, who do I think? High school Coach Miggs, Coach Reducci, teammates Prentice Walker, Cedric Shaw, college Hayden Fry. Because everywhere I've been on a journey. I've helped programs. We continue to do a good job in high school. When I got to Iowa, the program hadn't done anything. And we built that thing up and left it in a better place than it was when I got there. Got here to the Patriots, the same thing. We were building towards something, and we got to the Super Bowl. Who knew we wasn't going to have another opportunity to go back to the Super Bowl again? The way we played, the way things were, we figured we were going to have another opportunity. But throughout that time and those periods, man, it was like there were so many people, man. And my high school coach from day one instilled in me so many values and life lessons that I always remember to thank people, because there are a lot of people that helped me every step of my way. I mean, I was talented and everything, but you know what? I had some good coaching too. So,
yeah.
And I appreciate that.
And you chose Mr. Kraft to, you know, present you there. That was a special. I know for him, that was like over the top. That you made his year, you made his life. I mean, that's something he'll always remember, I know.
Absolutely. Well, as I said, I could have chosen high school, college, yeah, pro. But I knew the speech was going to be about all of these men and people that helped me. And as we all know, the success and the putting himself on the line the way he did with the investment, the early investment in 94 of buying an organization and trying to build this thing up. I mean, I've been here from day one. I've had the catbird seat. I've been watching how he's built this organization, the tough decisions that he's had to make. He's turned us all into winners. We're all Super Bowl champions. I got more Super Bowl rings as a retired player than I right away, I knew I was going to go with him. Even in February, when I knew it, but I hadn't had the time to talk to him, so I wasn't going to say it publicly without letting him know first that this is what I want to do. And because of all of those things that he's done to this organization, a place that I've spent my whole career, I thought it was only be right that he have this honor. And it won't be long, in my opinion, and I'm sure most of you guys may feel the same way, that he has as good of opportunity as most people to get a nod as a contributor for the National Football League.
I agree with that.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
I thought he needed the experience, so it wouldn't be, you know, awkward to him when his names get called someday and he's up there in his yellow jacket or whatever color jacket they give him, being accepted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
You're not going to do it.
Somebody's at the door.
Somebody's at the door.
Wow. This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. Jeez. Is this really what it's come to?
Wow, I can't really. We're doing this with a team Hall of Famer introducing it and a Pro Football Hall of Famer sitting before us.
That's all right.
And we're talking about a term that's based upon a future Pro Football Hall of Famer who's been in the news. It's farved.
Farved.
It's a verb, and that's farved, okay. And I can't say what it means.
You're going to have to look that up. All right, well, Andre, thank you so much for stopping by.
One quick question.
Okay.
Where's my lunch?
Well, that's my question, but I have a question
for
you.
Yes.
You've been great at everything you've ever touched, except one little black mark on the resume. You had a tough season last year as a Pee Wee football coach, you mentioned. Are we bouncing back this fall?
Baby, we are working. You should have seen us last night. We got a new defense. I'm back to being the offensive coordinator. I let someone else be the offensive coordinator last year. I got the ring.
Heads rolled after that season.
Yes. I'm calling the plays now. And I got a good cop, bad cop. I got the bad cop has done some good things for me. One of my coaches that I just hired. Got to talk them into volunteering. And we are going to do some special things this year. We got some good football players. Our kids are mature. A lot more mature than they were last year, and they've gotten faster and stronger. So we're gonna have some fun.
Because you're on the hot seat. Let's be honest.
I'm on the hot seat.
They gave me
the 2-minute warning after the last season.
Who brought a wet blanket into the room?
This year he shows up on the practice field with his yellow jacket.
Oh, that's true.
Absolutely.
That brings a little.
All right. Today's lunch is provided by Strippers.
Yes.
Who was buying? He wanted to buy tip lunch, and he says plug AdrianPeterson28.com. Oh, screw that. Just go to PFW in Progress and buy some t-shirts.
So. Yes.
Yeah.
All
right.
Thank you, Strippers.
Strippers, and thank you, Andre, for stopping by. Thank you and congratulations to from all of Patriots fans everywhere. And we will see you next Tuesday. We'll talk about
tonight,
this big
Fred.
Preseason game tonight against the Ravens. See you then.
Thank you.